It's the Tiltcast, episode 142, Snuggle Cheeks.
And this week we talk about a lot of Shadowrun, our adventures with power outages and drinking, hanging with friends, news, and pooping together. Stay tuned.
And welcome back to another episode of Tiltcast, otherwise this week known as the Dominant Trio. Next to me, I've got Justin.
What up?
Next to him is Trent.
Come at me, bro. Sorry. I like Bad Luck Brian memes. That's awesome. Brother ejaculates off.
And this is Jason, a.k.a. Toe Jam.
He's like stuttering everywhere now.
Yeah, I am. Dude, I'm trying to keep from laughing.
Let's look at some of the best memes.
Trying to keep from laughing. Ah,
how about this one?
What?
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, there nice. You go. There's another one.
Oh, baby. That's
us, yeah.
So Drive By Meaning.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah. Two girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's zoom out. This side. Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. All right. We'll leave that at that. That's a private matter.
Alright, well, might as well get this kicked off. Justin, what you been doing this week?
So, this has been an interesting fucking week.
Amen.
As people know, I was off last week, and as soon as I got here, I waved at you all, and I just passed the fuck out. I had leadership training in the morning, and interestingly enough, with my general manager, and another general manager, and then a manager from fucking payroll, and from other sites, and it was stressful. So I had to be up early. I didn't want to make a late showing of that. I wanted to make sure I was ready and presentable since I was going to be in the room with a bunch of, you know, people that were way up there. Mm-hmm. Did that. That was Tuesday morning. Wednesday comes around. The fucking Thor shows up in the middle of the sky, and we have, like, fucking green lightning. Oh, my God. we had an intense fucking storm, like...
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, and leading into Wednesday morning, and it was like green lightning. The wind was blowing straight sideways.
That's pretty awesome.
It was pretty fucking badass. Except our power kept flickering. I was like, "Oh fuck, it's gonna go out! It's gonna go out! It's gonna go out!" And
it went out.
God, did it ever go out? That was a rough fucking night. I want to tell you, I was sweating my balls off. I was damn near naked with my windows open, trying to get air to kind of waft in, and I was just like, my balls are sticking to my legs.
Yeah,
it was brutal. I kept trying to fall asleep, and I just kept thinking about my ball sacks sticking to my legs. And after peeling it off like 45 times and sleeping 2 hours,
I don't know.
It was hot as hotter than my balls.
And it's higher than your balls.
Wow, that is hotter than my balls.
There's another one.
Oh,
that's a nice glass ball. So that was a really rough fucking night. Then I had to be at work at like 7:45 the next morning, which I know I ran into you up at QT that morning.
Yep.
Fucking tired. And it was weird because I was like, I can't sleep, so I'm gonna go driving around. So I popped in. I really like this band called Gojira, and so I'm sitting around like jamming out to Gojira on my phone in my car because I'm laying and my stereo's been stolen. So I put it on speakerphone and put it on my, you know, Amazon MP3 player. Play that, and I'm driving around all sorts of debris, and I was like, man, it looks like a fucking war zone. Like, then there's like several intersections were out, and there were fucking trees everywhere, and it's like, this is my soundtrack to the apocalypse. I'm just gonna kind of, you know, just try to entertain myself till I get tired enough to fall asleep. Of course, I come back, I'm almost tired enough to fall asleep, and I do. Anyways, wake up the next morning, see you, Jason. People are late for work. It's just fucking nuts, and. Get in. Fortunately, it's only a 4-hour session for the end of my training. It's on my fucking day off. All I wanted to do was play some fucking Shadowrun, and of course, it wasn't out yet. And I was like, man, no video games. The house is hot. Everything's gonna die. In the fridge, it's gonna be a fucking science project. I'm just, I don't know what I want to do.
He cried about it.
I did cry, and you know, I posted on my Facebook. Anybody got a place I can couch surf at for a little bit? And I got some responses, but I jumped the gun, and I called my buddy Jason, who lives a little house by the lake, and I was like, all right, so I'm going to go down there and kick it. And I do. I just, within about 20 minutes, was like, fuck my house. I grabbed my laundry, grabbed, like, a couple of t-shirts, grabbed my cigarettes, and I left. And I got down there, just about a good hour and a half down there, and, of course, his house is, like, fucking 40 degrees. It's freezing. I'm just like, oh, man, this is awesome. So I just went there, took a nap, kind of kicked it with him. Then I found out a couple of my other buddies who do construction work are doing a deck in Muskogee, which is about 20 minutes from Eufaula. And they're staying the night there for a few days while they finish their job because they don't want to drive all the way back up here to town. So I found out two of my other really good friends are down there. I was like, this is kind of badass. I'm going to get to hang out with some people I don't get to hang out with all the time. It's going to be kind of like my old wrecking crew again.
And not long after you leave town, Trent posts that the power's back.
Well, I get back. I think the power come back on that night. And I was already down there. I was like, you know what? We're going to watch Django Unchained.
Well, the internet was still out.
That's a great movie.
And he had all this beer in his fridge. And so I drank my weight in beer and watched Django Unchained with him. And there's a lot of fucking squibs in that movie.
And oh, there are. But they're wonderful squibs.
There's just blood all over the place. They do drop the N-bomb a lot. A lot. Like, it's only...
I thought I said a lot.
It's only appropriate in the fact that the protagonist is black, so...
They drop it a lot.
And the period.
The N-bomb drops so much in that movie,
almost becomes part of the background.
You almost feel bad.
you almost do, but then again, for the most part, the N-bomb is coming from... Assholes. From Jamie Foxx and from Samuel L. Jackson.
Now, we're talking about Nantucket, right? That's...
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie based in the South during slave days.
Samus and Cthulhu stuff is Nyarlathotep. So when you say the N word, everybody wants to say his name. So
no, it's not that. It was just legitimately
It's like I can't believe you called her the C word. You know, I'm not cunt, but it's Cthulhu.
So yeah, it was that movie was really good. So next night rolls around, I'm trying to make a decision if I'm going to come back. Of course, I had the laptop, which has the episode on it. I had to drive back here and upload it at Trent's work.
Yeah.
Because we still didn't have internet. So I drove an hour and a half back here to upload that episode for y'all. And then drove back. Nice. 20 minutes later?
Yeah. Well, as soon as you dropped it off, I think I had it done in like a matter of no time. And I was like, yeah, there you go, it's finished.
Then I had to wait for internet to come back over at his place. Of course, I was uploading it on a MiFi.
Well, see, I uploaded it. I uploaded the thing at work and got all ready for you. And then, because I wasn't sure if we were going to have internet here at the house. And of course, I finally get home, and yeah, the internet's on as soon as I get home. So I was like, all right, cool.
Well, and I downloaded Shadowrun at your job, thinking I was going to play it down there. I was like, no, it's not going to really happen. Mm. I'm here with my wrecking crew here. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So 8:30 at night comes around. We decide to go fucking OKC and do some bar hopping like immediately afterwards, and spent a god awful amount of money and got fairly drunk. Came back the same fucking night, got back here, and it like I slept like a total of maybe 6 hours, and I woke up at like 6 in the morning and left the lake by like 8:30, and then played Shadowrun like all fucking day. So I'll talk about Shadowrun a little bit here in a minute, because I know Trent's played some too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, I guess Saturday rolled around, and I went out with my girlfriend on Friday a little bit, and then Saturday I wasn't feeling good, so I stayed home and played more Shadowrun, and then caught up with work on Sunday, and then today, all hell broke it loose at work. I was a manager on duty. I got absolutely nothing done. Newsworthy things happened, and here I am with just eating my lunch right before we started the show. So, it's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
I said that in 9 minutes. Isn't that awesome?
Well, you know, power outage kind of
it was fucking
trumps
epic,
everything
man.
Else. It was.
Like,
it
especially was. For gamers, man. That's rough.
Dude,
I just got really drunk.
I spent 2 days without Xbox. That's not good.
How did you cope?
I had that whole sinus infection going on, so I slept literally out of exhaustion as much as I could.
Oh, wow. So you passed out in the heat.
That was mine. Yeah.
That's fucking rough.
But there's more to it. But first off, Trent, how's your week going?
Oh, you know. Can't complain.
No, the one man that I know who could sleep well without AC.
Linda Litsky.
That's what happens when you're fucking...
Actually, man, no, you it's not comfortable. I mean,
You had a period in your life where you lived pretty rough for a little bit, so...
Yeah, so I'm used to that. I'm used to putting up with shit. I'm not a fucking highbrow little pussy bitch.
No, I am soft-handed, and I am not afraid to say anything.
I know he's soft-handed. But it has nothing to do with this.
That's why I sleep myself so well.
But, no,
I know why you've been roommates so long.
Yeah, true.
I like it when his rough hands come around and touch my shoulders. It's always a good feeling in the middle.
Anyways, yeah, the internet went out, the electricity went out. That sucked. I was in the middle of working. On a website, and just boom, everything turns off, and I was like, son of a bitch, you know. And I didn't yell it, because usually when our power goes out, it turns right back on.
Not this time. Well, it kept flickering. Like, it was weird. Like, it was getting to that whole level where it's just kind of phasing in and out.
It was like
balls
horror movie.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like, I was scared for my computer, man.
I thought I was going to have to make a choice to live. Or, you know, do something horrible or just give up. Kind of like a jigsaw kind of thing.
Well, we looked outside, man. We were like, fuck. Well, this could be bad.
We were talking about with high suicide rate. And, like, I was sitting there talking about how... Why hasn't anybody gone off and gone for, like, a test drive at a dealership? And when they get the guy in the car with them, start, like, driving really fast and tell them they have, like, you know, 2 minutes to make a decision, you know, to either jump from the moving car and live or, you know, die with him in the crash. Yeah, because, you know, if you're going to kill yourself, might as well take somebody with you. And that was just kind of an odd thing we were thinking of it were today. Nothing weird about that. So, but anyways, yeah, the power went out and I pretty much just sat around, the apartment the following night. The electricity was on, but no internet, so I just sat on my phone the entire time, just like I'm doing now. Just browsing the internet. Actually, I'm trying to work on some work-related server issues at the moment while we're doing this, but did that. I played some Shadowrun, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Wish I was playing Shadowgate, that'd be awesome. Did that. Played a little bit more Dead Island.
Riptide.
Yeah, and that's about it. Tore my computer apart on Sunday and cleaned it all out since it's summer and it's been a while since I did it.
Yeah,
dropped my temperatures quite a bit doing that. So all I think once I get that cooling system in there, I'll be down in like permanently, pretty much down in the 30s during idle right now for this the way the weather is now, which would be awesome.
I can always tell when the house is heating up because my computer temperature starts rising.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like when it's just sitting on idle.
Yeah, well, right now at idle, I'm like 39-40, which is not bad for idle for the way the temperatures have been.
You're running AMD chips, too, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got the two video cards in there and all that shit. So it's hot in there. It can get pretty hot. And so being at 40, you're not, especially with the temperatures the way it is now, is not bad. If I threw in that... water cooling that can go up to 20 degrees right
there. Well, especially when you told me your running temps were in the 60s.
That was I was starting to hit like 60 whenever I was doing application, like, you know, games and stuff, and that was kind of irritating me. And now that I've cleared it out, it stays right about 49-50. So if I throw in a thermal cooling and get rid of some of my fans, and also I remove some cables and shorten some cables, so I've already killed a lot of heat that way. But I pretty much dropped 10 degrees off. So now when
that's
I game,
a big deal.
Yeah, now that when I is. Game, I'm sitting right about 52 instead of 62. But if I throw in that water cooling, that particular system,
that'll lower that
case,
into the 40s.
Well, it says that it can do it up to about 20 degrees. And for this one system I'm looking at, I was looking at some builds that use the 600T Corsair graphite case that I have, and they said, with your configuration, you're looking at about a 20 degree drop. And I was like, that'd be pretty badass, because that'll put me like 25 idle, 20, and then 40 during gaming. And I was like, that's perfect. I'll have my computer run really nice on that, and I won't have to worry about heating, especially with the dual cards. And that'll actually give me some room to put some more stuff in, so, because I wouldn't mind getting an actual sound card. And that'll make me happy. But either way, that and the USB 3.0 component. Okay, but either way.
Yeah.
So I ripped that whole thing apart, which was fun. Other than that, just a lot of work, a lot of issues with database, sorry, server bullshit. So that's about it. Really didn't do too much. Got my t-shirt in.
Noticing that. Yeah,
my Bounty Hunter S. Thompson. It's
It's
the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas artwork Boba Fett. Of Hunter S. Thompson with his briefcase and the bats flying out, but they put Boba Fett on here instead in the briefcase. Yeah. It's Han Solo and Carbonite. I bought that one, and I bought a Bay Cthulhu shirt that should be coming in kind of soon. It's like a propaganda shirt that looks really, it just says Obey Cthulhu, and it's got Cthulhu with this big circle around him. It's really cute. So I'm hoping to get that in soon. So,
nice.
Of course, you know, British people like to ship shit fast. Not too fast. It's really slow. I'm sorry. So it takes forever. Other than that, nothing.
Nice. Well, like you guys, my week was filled with power outage. On top of that, Trent knows this because of when he and I went fishing, but basically I spent all the previous week beforehand with side effects of a sinus infection.
Oh, yeah, you weren't feeling too good when we went fishing.
Yeah, so, man, I tell you what, that power went out Tuesday night. That was, like, almost the death of me. Because I can do without the AC.
Yeah.
As long as I've got a fan.
See, I can do without both as long as I just, you know, it's... I mean, whenever the AC was out here, I just turned every goddamn thing off and kept it off. I mean, there was no, you know, like the TV was working and stuff, but I kept it off. I unplugged everything I didn't need plugged in that I knew would generate heat, even the smallest amount of heat.
And we didn't have any power.
Huh? No. This is when the power was on.
Oh, and the AC was out?
No, the AC was just fucking up. It was not doing a very good job that first night. And as for the first night, whenever the whole power was out, that didn't bother me so much when I just got down on my boxers, slept in my top sheet, you know, and even then I just had it, you know, covering my feet so they won't get too cold.
I don't know about cold, man. I was down to
Trent's getting all
without
bougie.
My teddy bear to keep me warm, I was getting pretty cold.
Trent's getting all bougie on us.
Bourgeois. No, that's totally different.
No, it's just, I was down to my undies and no sheets, and I was
came in and washed you. How's that make you feel?
He was that head.
I could smell
that.
I thought I
smelled
curry in my dreams. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, that was saffron, baby. Saffron fair.
But,
saffron.
But anyway, no, I have to have a fan because literally I've had heat stroke once. So, and our house was built in the 50s. So insulation is not the greatest in the walls and around the couple of windows that haven't been replaced in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So every ounce of heat and humidity from that night just soaked into the house immediately once the AC wasn't running.
Yeah.
So I didn't sleep well Tuesday night. I probably got maybe an hour more sleep than Justin did. Just passing out from exhaustion. And then the next day, I see you tweet that you've got your power back as we went out to dinner so we could eat something in air conditioning.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch, our power better be back on when we get home. And it wasn't. So we ended up going to Walmart and buying two of the Coleman camping fans.
What are they, battery operated fans?
Yeah. Takes 8 fucking D cell batteries.
Yeah, but I bet it was worth it.
Oh, dude. I at least got like 5 hours of sleep that night instead of 2 or 3. So that was a huge lifesaver. And then by the time I got home from work Friday, power was bad.
Well, they were originally talking about, like, this quadrant not being up till, like, Saturday morning.
Well, yes.
And that's why I freaked out. I was like, fuck a bag of this.
Well, they kept updating by the hour on it, and it basically got to where, you know, the power went out what was it, Tuesday night?
Tuesday night about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, Tuesday night about 11 o'clock, and right from that point when they started getting news reports out about it, and they were sending people out in the storm to go and fix crap, they brought people in from the tri-state area. They had people from Missouri, from Arkansas, coming into Tulsa to actually fix electricity.
Even some from Tennessee. And...
Yeah, so we were seeing a lot of... out-of-state contractors coming in to help us, which was kind of nice, but pretty common. But they were coming in, and they started saying that the projections were Saturday for full restoration, for 95% restoration in these areas, and it's like, that's fucked up, man. The 5 fucking days, fuck that.
Well, it's during my weekend. Like, my weekend is Wednesday through Friday, and I was like, fuck, my whole weekend,
I actually got a chance to talk to one of the guys from PSO, because they were, they sent one of the guys out in the meter truck, just double checking everything in our neighborhood. And he said, our quadrant and the quadrant here that you guys are on, it literally came down to just throwing a breaker switch at the main distribution for our two quadrants. Yeah, but they had to, there was so much tree damage in your all's area and in our area that they literally had to double and triple check all the lines to make sure that nothing had been pulled down that they just hadn't seen yet.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, in our neighborhood, somebody had their 200-foot tall oak just come crashing down on their house.
That sucks.
So no telling whether that pulled down any main power line for the street until they got the tree cleared out.
Yeah, that could be pretty fucked.
Yeah. So, bad storms. Bad storms.
Yeah.
No internet. So, sorry, question got up late this week. Literally, Jason just forgot.
We had bigger fish to fry this week.
We did.
Yeah. It was pretty chaotic.
It was extremely.
Very hot.
So
chaotic.
Sticky.
Sultry. Sultry.
So needless to say, once the AC
the night was wet.
Yeah. So once the AC was back on, I immediately went up to Quick Trip, got a 20-pack of beer, and literally soaked in AC and drank cold beer.
Yeah, first world problems.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that was my main thing whenever I came back on Wednesday. The internet was out, and I was like, well, electricity is on, but the internet's out. First world fucking problems. Not going to bitch about it. You know, and of course, everybody I know was bitching about the internet being out. And I was like, oh, come on, people.
You know what?
Problem is that I wasn't going to be able to get Shadowrun.
Yeah, well, see, my thing was I was complaining to people. I was like, it's not like you're going to do anything productive, like go to rosettastone.com, or it's like you're going to sit around and, like, look at cat videos, you know?
Yeah.
What were you going to do tonight? Oh, go YouTube and watch fail blog? It's like, right. You know, you give internet to, like, a third world person, like, oh, I can discover and learn things. You give it to a white kid in middle America, he's going to go look at porn.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but porn's important,
There's not an appreciation for the forum of ideas and exchange that was the internet.
We
now it's all spam and fucking porn, like Viagra pills.
Yeah, but there is a place
for porn.
There's a place for porn, and there's a place for Viagra.
It's not work.
Yeah, yeah, it's how
I
wind up
this week. Yeah, you're not supposed to look at porn at work. Okay, whatever. Like, is it really porn if my friends are posting on Facebook?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Well, you know, we can thank Al Gore for most of this. Just saying.
I love Al Gore, man. Google. Yeah. I love Google. Google image search. Who's that hot chick in that fucking picture? Boom. Fucking find everything out about her. And then stalk her.
It was horrible. Actually, we had no internet problems. Once our power was back, everything was up. Evidently, Cox didn't have any troubles in those areas.
Well, see, what's funny is, like, he and I were, Jess and I were sitting out here in the living room as soon as the power went out. We were, you know, well, I was out there watching the storm, and you came out, and you're like, what the fuck? And I was like, no, I was actually, like, I videotaped some of it. And then you came out, and I was like, yeah, dude, it's pretty wicked out there. And we were sitting here and getting ready to check the weather. And as soon as we started going to the weather sites, our cell signals just went down because the towers got just fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked. I didn't have cell signal here at the house for like over 24 hours. Sorry, not 24 hours, but probably about 22 hours. And even then, when I was at work, my cell signal was so weak because the tower over there, and it's a Sprint, you know, the tower over there was even fucked.
Well, I found out because they're still in the process of upgrading a lot of the towers.
Yeah.
They turned off the LTE backend, which shuts off a lot of the bandwidth to these towers.
Yeah.
So, because they're all upgraded to fiber now.
Yeah. It's like everything just crashed. Cell signal, fucking internet access. And then Cox, which, yeah, we've mentioned them. We're with Cox. And they completely just dropped off. And I think it was the second night, actually, when he wasn't here, I was laying in bed watching TV for a little bit, and I heard a transformer explode. This is when it was not raining. Just, you know, the fucking whole thing just exploded. And I was like, all right, so either somebody just ran into that, which is not uncommon in the state.
Nope.
Or some water just finally dripped down past the panel. They were opening it, probably, and just a whole bunch of water fell in there and just... probably scared the shit out of some poor guy. So,
no, that actually happened to a few places across the city Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a crazy week. So
been fun.
Yeah,
it's funny though, when I was sitting there and the internet went out and it was just pitch black in here, there was no electricity or nothing. I was sitting here and I was like, you know, the apocalypse is not going to be as fun as we make it out to be because of fallout and shit. Because when it first happens and you've survived, you're going to spend the first probably day and a half waiting for your cell phone signal to come back on, and then you're going to finally give up. But you're still going to check it about once every day just to see as you're traveling. And I just realized how much of a slave we are to these shitty little things. It's going to be hard to get to acclimate. Really, it's going to be, you know, with camping and stuff. You know you're going to get it turned back on when you go back to the city, but, you know, when it comes to the apocalypse happening, you're just kind of...
Well, that's like when the power went out, I didn't hardly touch this thing. It was like my cell phone, literally, I used it to let my parents know we lived.
Yeah.
And see if anyone had power, and that was it.
See, I'm so used to working from home as soon as I get out of work that, was it that I kind of rely on the internet so I can get work done and crap when I'm here at the house. So it's like I was checking it constantly just to see if it would come back on. And since I was in the middle of working that night that it went out, I was really pissed off. I was like, all right, I got 2 hours before I'm going to go to sleep because you go to sleep at 2 a.m. And I was like, and I can get, if this will come back on, I can get a few more hours in of work and then pass out. And of course, you know, all in vain, just sat there and waited.
Yeah.
Total piss off. So I'm hoping they prorate our electric bill and our fucking, yeah, that they give us a little bit of a discount for those days that it was out.
Yeah, they will. Your meter wasn't running.
There was an incident, I remember, a few years ago where the local electric company did not do that, and a lot of people threw a fucking fit. And they're like, oh, we meant to, so we'll just give you a credit on your next bill. And you're like, no, I don't want a credit on my next bill. I want a credit on this bill, dickface.
Yeah. So, but no, if nothing else, our electric rates will go up because of all the new poles and transformers.
Yeah. Well, it's like whenever that ice storm happened, that really bad ice storm that came through a few years, probably about, you know, not the one, just a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah,
that's
like 5 years ago.
Yeah, we just had that massive ice storm. We had
that
one
power
in
for like a week.
We had one in like 2007, I think, or 6. Where it was like in March, it iced over in February for like 2.5 weeks, and then it started to melt, and then March 9th came around. I remember because I was supposed to be downtown for something, and then overnight, just boom, everything iced back over. We were labeled as a disaster area that year.
Yep, and I remember that because my dad and I were actually going between here and southern Arkansas, where my parents live now.
Yeah,
because he was starting a warehouse down there for a company.
Yeah,
for so. So he and I were actually driving through that one as it happened.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where after that happened, they raised the fucking price on electric. And they were like, oh, well, you know, we had a lot of tree branches fall and snap shit and all that. And we were like, well, hold on.
don't we already pay you to go out and service those areas to make sure those tree branches aren't hanging over wires so that way we don't run into this problem? They're like, well, not really. No, you guys don't pay us. Okay, then what are all those rates we pay for the entire maintenance and upkeep, you know, that we're paying you for that's itemized inside of a bill? What's that if you're not already supposed to be doing it? And they're like, well, that's something completely different. We're like, no, it's not. Every city that was, and there's a huge deal with it. And some people went looking around and they're like, no, according to every other city, their maintenance and upkeep services cover sending out the vehicles to go trim back stuff and all that. But yours isn't all of a sudden that you're going to raise our height. And it's at the same time that the city tried to do that Riverside beautification bill that got shot down, and they had promised the electric company to redo their entire sign and everything. And of course, you know, everybody voted against this entire beautification thing. The mayor was like, well, I'm very disappointed in the lack of vision of our citizens, so we're just going to go ahead and do it anyways and do it our own way and just, you know, and all that. I was like, oh, really? So that just shows democracy doesn't fucking work. Yep. And right after that, all of our rates went up, which was their way of covering the cost by basically getting the money from us one way or the other.
And then once all of that was finally starting to bleed off, 2010 rolls around. Mm. We have that ice storm.
Yeah.
Another one. That shut off power for like 4 days, a week to some people.
Well, I just think, it's great when you live in a state where democracy just doesn't fucking apply. Ice storms aside.
And as our rates were set to go back down again later on this year, this power outage happens. Yeah. So
it's a wonderful state.
But actually, PSO has gotten better since AEP bought them.
Well, they're easier to talk to and deal with. I mean, they stopped cutting power off to residencies with people who had iron lungs.
Yeah.
They're like, you cut my electricity off and killed my meemaw. And they're like, oh, we're sorry.
They're not this small little section of a state company anymore. I mean, they're part of AEP. It's a much larger network of power companies.
Yeah, after they got, you know, lawsuit after lawsuit. Yeah. They finally got their shit together. I remember, then there was a couple kids that they killed the power to this family's house during the summer, as far as their apartment, and the two kids ended up dying because of it. And they got sued over that because they're like, it was the middle of a heat wave, and by law they're not allowed to kill the electricity during heat waves, but they did it anyways. And then during winter, they did the same thing, and they end up, I think, they showed on the news, they're like, Tulsa's, 09 or 2010 winter claims three victims whose powers were turned off at the time. Yeah. And after that, they started finally getting their shit together.
Yeah. Well, you know, the bad part is you're supposed to go under more... Technically, our area of Oklahoma should be under moratorium like twice a year. Mm. Usually in July. And then again in January.
Yeah, because our dead winter doesn't usually kick around until
January, February.
Well, usually at the end of December, beginning of January, and then we get our ice storms sometimes, which, with the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if this winter is going to be
a harsh one.
It's going to be interesting. So, do you hear about the giant hole on the sun?
Yes.
I just brought that up. Thinking about that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a giant hole in the sun's atmosphere that covers 25% of the sun. Now, for those of you who I've seen people answer questionnaires, and it says, which one's bigger, the Earth or the sun? And they say the Earth. You're stupid. So let's go ahead and break this down to where the size of that is equal to, like, what? Probably, how many Earths can fit into the sun? It's like
probably
somewhere
100 or something.
No, more than that. No, it's more like than way. That. You're typing how many Earths can fit into the sun, then break that into a quarter. So I mean, like Jupiter itself can fit like I can't remember how many, but it's well fucking over 100.
Yeah.
So what's it say here?
The sun is gigantic.
Yeah. Here, let's Google this. The Science Cast. We just Google everything. Anyway, let's see here. How many?
Now, this kid's is in no way an example of how you should do things. Just saying.
There we go. How many Earths fit in the sun? Google might actually have a straight translation of that. Okay, the Earth, which means that about 1 million Earths would fit into the sun.
Okay, so I guess I'm off by a little
You're
bit.
You're off by a little bit. Now, that means 250,000 size. That's how big of an area this fucking spot is. It's like a quarter of the sun. And I was like, holy shit. And they're like, oh, no, that's normal. And I'm like, I've never heard of that. But no, it is normal as it reaches the climax of its flare cycles. It's falling up and going down. And I was just like... Just I was sitting there at work thinking about the grand scope of this.
Here's something from a science magazine, so don't feel as dumb. First, the sun's diameter is about 100 times that of Earth. Mm-hmm. So if you line up 100 Earths end to end and stretch across the face of the sun. Mm-hmm. So not a million.
No. This isn't how many fit around. This is how many can fit inside.
Inside.
Yeah.
Inside the total spherical diameter
stuff
of the
like
sun.
Stuff it like a fat girl's womb. With Earth.
Okay, and then on the same answer, it does say a million would fit inside.
There you go.
There you go.
Million. That's going to be sperm you ejaculated. Not really. I got one left, I think. So it's the same guy keeps coming out and then just swimming back in. So, but yeah, it's a million. I mean, it's funny.
So are you saying he hits the lip and then
he's
like. He
comes back. He's like.
Yeah, no, not yet.
He's like, I'm going to do it. No. I'm going to go back. So it's like Truman trying to get on a boat. The Truman Show. So, anyways, it's one of those things where I mean, it's like I'll sit. We all do this occasionally. We just ponder the vastness of the universe, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking
the universe.
I do this with Jupiter a lot because Jupiter's huge, and I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, if I was like a mile away, I mean like just a mile, not a light year, but like a mile away, even a light year is interesting. But if I was like a mile away from Jupiter, looking at it from side to side. Yeah, it was just right in front of me. It would pretty much encompass everything in my front view. If I looked directly at it, there would be no plane, probably, like field of plane. Same with the sun. Yeah.
Yep.
Like there'd be no end of the horizon.
Cover. Yeah, basically there would be no break between space and Jupiter because it's that fucking huge. It's like whenever you lay down on a hammock and you look at the sky, there is no, if you're in a nice like flat area, there is no end of the sun. That's like the sky. There's no horizon. And I used to do that a lot, and to be honest, it freaks me the fuck out when you're just sitting there staring at complete, like, blue. It's actually kind of, even night when you're staring at just nothing but stars, it can be a little creepy, especially when you're high as shit. So, or tripping acid. Maybe, I don't know, I won't say I've ever done that. But it gets a little weird. But yeah, just the size of that, 25% of the sun's surface, the atmosphere is open and missing.
And
like,
by this time next year, that'll be literally a fraction of the size that it is now.
It's just amazing, you know, it's one of those things. Was it...
1,400 Earths instead of Jupiter.
Yeah, for Jupiter, yeah. And that alone, that would be no horizon.
Is this just like your measurement of magnitude is... How many times Earth can fit inside something now?
When it comes to space objects, you're just like, holy shit, that's huge. Yeah, it's amazing when you look at this and you're just like, it's stuff you learn when you're a kid and you're like, oh, that's a lot. But then as you get older, you really start to understand size a lot better.
Yeah.
Especially as when you learn the size of the Earth and exactly how small the Earth is in comparison to everything else. And then when you think about it, you're just like, If it's a million Earths can fit inside the sun, I mean, whenever they sent out the Voyager space probe out and it was going past, I think it was Jupiter, they turned it around to get the shot of Earth, and it was just this little tiny speck about that big. That means it would be smaller than that. And that was like a centimeter.
Well, that's like... picture.
It would be smaller than even that inside of it.
Well, that's like...
The real question is how many Earths will fit inside Uranus?
Well, actually, Uranus can fit inside the Earth.
Yeah,
63 Earths will fit inside Uranus.
Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought Uranus was smaller.
No, Uranus is bigger.
Is it Pluto that's smaller?
That's astronomer for kids.
Yeah, that's right. No, Pluto's a dwarf one that can't.
Yeah, but Pluto doesn't count as a planet anymore.
Yeah, which I don't believe they consider it a dwarf planet. You know what? It still has the word planet in it. Okay, you shouldn't make fun of Pluto just because it's a little smaller.
Dwarf or not? Yeah. Venus is smaller.
It prefers...
Well, Pluto... 176 Plutos will fit inside of Earth.
Or no, not Venus. Mercury
is
smaller.
Venus is the same size as us, I think. Yeah, just about.
Mercury is smaller.
Planet. Yeah, because Venus is our sister planet. Mercury is a very small planet. And then...
So, when you think about it, if you don't add Pluto into the mix...
Yeah.
Earth is like the third largest planet in our solar system.
No, because you still got Saturn.
Or no,
which is
Saturn big. Is
Saturn,
smaller.
Jupiter,
so
Uranus is bigger. Yeah. Mercury is small. If you don't count Pluto, that's one thing. And then Venus is about the same size. How big is Venus compared to Earth? I think they're about the same size because it's our sister.
0.015% difference.
Yeah, in our favor or theirs?
They're slightly bigger.
Okay, so they're slightly bigger. But, of course, they're also, you know, baking like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Swelling up.
Mars is larger than Earth.
Yeah. I miss the Venusians. Oh. They were so fun.
Oh,
a bunch
I know,
of crazy
right?
guys. Anyways. fucking a lot of tranny boys.
Mars is smaller than Earth.
Yeah, Mars is a little bit smaller than Earth. And I can't wait for that. No, what I think is amazing is that is as much as we know about our solar system, it's amazing that we're still finding more and more moons on planets that are within our solar system. I think we just discovered some more moons at Uranus.
Well, you know, that's...
No, there's the more Klingons around Uranus.
When you think about it, before all we had was Voyager and the Hubble telescope.
Yeah, the Hubble,
and
that piece of shit.
When it came to Voyager, I mean, it literally, there's no way it could have seen all the moons because...
Well, Voyager was such a low grade for what it was.
It was a low grade one, and it passed by fairly quickly for another.
Well, if you look at the Voyager shots, when it's out in clear space and it's passing by a planet and it turns around to take a photo, unless that planet's like right near it, it's not going to get a good picture. I mean, whenever you look at most of the planets, now, number one, part of this is because of light distortion due to relativity, which causes distortion of light because of the gravity, but take that out. When it's in space, it can get some good pictures of stars, but as soon as it's around other crap, it loses its fidelity.
That's where the Challenger probe is giving us more.
We got a lot more.
So here's something for perspective, Trent.
Yeah, here we go.
You're talking about something like, I just looked up, what's the largest known star?
Oh, yeah.
Largest known star is going to be
Canis
Majoris. VY Canis Majoris.
Yeah.
And the amount of Earths that can fit inside the star are estimated 11,666,000,000, 192,832,000,000 Earths.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
There's actually a star map. You can get the touch of the largest stars, and our sun is actually somewhere near the bottom of that list, because I was looking at it one time, and the largest one on the screen was, of course, this big, because it's on the screen, on the computer. But the sun is like that fucking big compared to the largest one. You're like, that's really fucking huge. And what's funny is if you're on a planet around that sun, you're flat as a fucking rock because the gravitational pull is so fucking bad, and also the planet itself, the size of the planet also gets pulled into effect there. But an Earth-sized planet around a sun that big, not a good place.
It'd be a flat disk.
You remember that episode of Futurama where they go to the pillows and they're like, "Oh, we're just going to deliver pillows," and they go to that planet whose gravity was like, I think, twice that of Earth's, and as soon as they get out there, the pillows weigh like 50 pounds each.
Yeah,
kind of like that. You know, it's so bad. And also on a larger planet, you get the same thing. If we were on a planet that was like the size of Jupiter, but was actually solid, we'd also have an issue with the gravity.
They even explored this in Star Trek, being the total geek that I am, that our sun's actually like fractionally close to being a dwarf star, not a full-fledged star.
You know what that means? That all the aliens in the galaxy, because you know they're out there, they're somewhere.
Strong.
They're looking at us like we're a bunch of fucking dweebs. They're like, you guys come from the little star.
It's
like, hey, fuck off, that's our sun. And they're like, you call that a sun?
So in theory, could you say that Superman's so strong, not because of the yellow sun, but most likely that Krypton's
surviving.
Star was...
That was actually the whole point. It wasn't so much because of the sun itself. It was just because of the way that his solar system differed from ours.
Yeah.
Or his galaxy.
So
actually.
His physiology.
Well,
his physiology was just jumping
from place to place.
Yeah, he was just jumping. It's just that he had this ability because his sun was so much bigger. And also they were so much closer to their sun. I mean, when it supernovaed, it pretty much ate their planet.
It would have been a better story had he never had like the fucking laser eyes.
Yeah, the laser eyes was kind of like, what's that about?
That's all yellow sun.
And being able to see through things. I don't get how a sun affects that.
Yeah,
and in the movies. And I think maybe in one of the comics where
he traveling back in time.
No, not that. Well, that's totally fucked up.
Just bad science.
But where he grabs the emblem on his chest and throws it, and it becomes a shield that wraps around
Zahn.
Was it Zahn? No, it wasn't around Zahn, but it was around one of the other ones, one of his other.
Oh no, it was around the big
the big strong
the
guy.
Big beefy
the mute.
Dude.
Yeah, the mute. And it like, and you're just like, okay, how the fuck did that happen? He just made a shrinky dink and threw it at this dude and it just wrapped around him. Like, that doesn't make sense, Christopher Reeves. I call bullshit. How does that, is your suit from Krypton? Was that packed with you? How did they know your size? How do they know how big you're going to be? And fucking,
wait, my problem with Superman was always that, like, flying as fast as he did, how, and doing the things that he did, how
it didn't rip off of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, how Superman just wasn't perpetually naked.
You know, air has friction. Yeah. You know, so as you travel through it, his suit would have caught on
fire.
You're
traveling thousands of miles an hour. Yeah. Like, I'd think that thing would rip off.
And in order to time travel, you have to go the speed of light. Yeah. So he's going the speed of light around the planet. He would have burst into flames, first off. Actually, he probably would have stretched out so thin and broken down every, like, you know, every atom in his body.
Yeah.
So he would have just, I call bullshit.
They did explain the suit somewhat in, if you remember, Lois and Clark. As horrible as that
I
was,
I never watched that show because I watched like the first few episodes and I hated it. And I stopped watching.
It was one of my dad's favorite shows. As he called it.
One movie with Dean Cain that played a gay guy.
That was decent TV as far as my father was concerned. Uh-huh. But anyway. She actually made his suit out of Kevlar.
Your dad actually liked Scarecrow, Mrs. King, stuff like that. Probably. Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
So
Simon and Simon.
She made his suit out of Kevlar, and they actually brought that into the comics and used that as some of the explanation.
But even Kevlar, traveling at the speed of light, it doesn't matter what it's may have at that point. Yeah. Unless the suit is made out of pure light, at that point, it doesn't factor in. The whole thing's
I never out. Said all the
no,
science.
No, no ball on this. This is too interesting.
While we're at it,
Wonder Woman. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
An invisible jet.
Yeah.
A whip of truth.
It was a feminist thing.
I don't care. What the fuck? Yeah, there was a time where Wonder Woman was kind
of
cool.
I don't care what your gauntlets are made out of, but they're not stopping armor-piercing bullets from a AK-47.
While we're at it, Green Lantern.
We can shit all over Green Lantern.
We can shit all over Green Lantern. No, there was a time where Green Lantern was kind of cool.
Yes.
It's like Green Arrow. There was a time when he was kind of cool.
I don't know. I'm kind of okay with Green Arrow.
Sometimes.
He's kind of a ninja.
Black Vulcan. Throw that out.
The room goes silent.
I will say, if you haven't watched it yet, Aquaman. And I can't say that
like
I've
Aquaman.
Watched all of it.
I like all of
but
Aquaman.
The series Arrow that CW started a couple years
they're
ago.
Trying to do that.
That's actually really good.
I saw a preview for it and I thought this looks like Green Arrow. Then they were like Arrow, and I was like, oh, it's a startup for a television series based on one of the gayest superheroes. it's Green Arrow. This might be interesting. No. I didn't like it. It was kind of like they did that. What was that one that had Jessica Alba in it? Her superhero,
Dark Angel.
I watched the first season of that and I thought, okay, this is where TV is starting to get interesting. This is before Lost and all that stuff. And I was like, this isn't that bad. And then it went to shit. It's kind of like Dollhouse. Dollhouse season one was kind of fun, and then it went to shit.
You saw where James Cameron was making Dark Angel.
Well,
in
you
the
can
first
take all
season.
The shit that we had before. We had Viper. And
that's true.
And Mantis.
Mantis, I remember. It was the black dude in the wheelchair.
Well,
yeah.
Actually,
the fucking
actually, Viper came out around the same time as Dark
but we
Angel,
did have
the
Tick.
The Tick,
the
was,
tick
good.
Was fucking awesome.
I know, you can't talk about Spoon, though.
But, Spoon. You're right, James Cameron had a good thing going with Dark Angel, and then Fox comes in season two and just changes everything.
Yeah. To be honest, they should have just given it to Josh Whedon at the time. He was a nobody at the time.
He's probably doing. What do you mean, doing Buffy?
No, he was doing Buffy there.
He was okay.
Yeah,
and I miss the old days where you had stuff like Green Hornet, the original Green Hornet TV show.
You know, I just want that theme song on my phone.
But
the fucking horns.
Yeah.
Fucking
which,
Bruce Lee.
Props to Seth Rogen for actually doing the Green Hornet justice.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that. They turned into a way too stupid of a comedy.
I liked it.
Which,
hey, props to This Is the End, though. That movie's awesome.
I still haven't watched that. I keep me into. When the trailers came out, I was really into watching it. I plan on going this weekend to see a movie, and that was one that's on the top
way
of my list.
Way more
so.
Cock than I needed, but worth it.
I know, I'm sure. And that's one I've been watching previews for since when they were first putting
it's
out the
pretty
teaser
fucking
stuff.
Awesome.
But even before they were actually doing full trailers and they're just doing the
and
cam trailers.
I still have watched that, but then we also have World's End coming out soon.
Yeah. Well, one, that's going to finish the trilogy
for them,
and I'm totally looking forward to
it.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Castle. I'm totally looking forward to that. And what's funny is Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, Shaun of the Dead. We knew it was going to be a zombie movie. Hot Fuzz went from being a cop movie to a cult horror movie.
Yes.
Where it's about a cult and everything. Very 70s throwback, which I love. This one, I'm a little pissed that they already gave away the twist in it because Hot Fuzz, I did not know was going to be a cult movie. And I ended up watching it. I thought it was fantastic because it was a twisted movie. I was surprised. This one, I thought, okay, it's going to be some kind of, like, you know, weird town. Like, you know, they're going back to the town and things have changed quite a bit. But they're already showing that everybody's robots. And I'm a little pissed. I really wish they wouldn't have done that. I'm sure there's still a twist in there somewhere. Like, why is everybody robots?
Yeah.
But I would have really preferred that they just kind of left that under the table.
Left
it on the table. And just had everybody going and thinking it's going to be another psycho cult movie.
You know what? Like Sci-fi or Hot Fuzz took me back to the old times of the BBC, like when Dark Shadows was running.
Yeah,
and loved it.
It just reminded me of a lot of old like 70s films where everything, like, you go there to this small town, you're like, what's up with all these people? And you find out they're all Satan worshippers.
Yes.
You're like, oh, that explains it. Yeah. But I did like watching Timothy Dalton get a giant fucking building spire through his
face. Yes.
Which was fantastic.
Yes.
Very awesome.
That was awesome. And speaking of awesomeness, how is
Shadowrun?
Shadowrun.
Pretty awesome so far, right? He's already beaten it, yeah. I haven't had that much time to put into it, but I've enjoyed what I've been playing. I'm in Seattle.
It makes... So, like, I'm really excited about the Wasteland 2 project coming out.
Yep.
I know you guys talked about it being delayed last week. That's still a thing, but I needed something to scratch a different itch. Like, I mean, I've played a lot of first-person shooters, a lot of first-person in general games, and I'm done with that for a while. I just don't want to play that kind of game. And when I get something that's old-school RPG, isometric, third-person, fucking... RPG, I am all about it. Now, I have some complaints about the game, but overall, I'm completely sold on it. And complaints I have is the save system is weird until you get used to it, until you figure out that you don't have to reload everything, you just have to reload the checkpoints.
Yeah.
A lot of flack out there going, people saying, oh, I gotta reload the whole thing. Well, there's a rewind button that you click when you load game, which breaks it up into a series of checkpoints about every 10 minutes. Which really isn't that bad. Also, sometimes you'll get stuck in combat. And what I mean by that is, like, you'll get stuck in the whole, like, you know, turn-based move system.
Yeah.
And moving a whole group of characters sometimes is a pain in the ass. That aside, though, having the Street Samurai, the Mage, the Ripper,
the classes,
the Decker.
Yeah.
All that stuff is fucking cool.
Yeah, as well as the... also, you have the free-for-all where you can kind of just create your own as you go through, which is kind of interesting.
And I don't know. What class did you choose?
Street Samurai.
What, human or...?
Oh, human. Yeah, race was human, and then Street Samurai. Decker, I don't mind so much just because what they can do is pretty cool. And they have the... Well, there's the Decker, and then there's... Which one is the boss? I forgot which class. It's
I think it's
that's
the Ripper, or...?
No, I can't remember if it's Ripper. I don't remember. But basically, the Decker can jack into computer
different
systems.
Security terminals, and then you get into this whole, like, Matrix world, basically, and you start doing stuff.
Yeah, and then the other one can basically create bots, as well as take over and dominate bots. So it's basically your typical
the
cyber.
Shaman. The Shaman's the one that's really cool.
Yeah, a Shaman can do
magic. I didn't
magic
know
all,
that... Well, like, he gets a few spells, but he also gets... You'll find areas in the room where you can raise a creature out of something. So it could be some ooze in the floor, and then you get some crazy ass creature you'll have for like 4 or 5 turns.
Yeah. Plus, you also have power amplification spots where, whenever you're in your tactical view as a shaman.
That's for the shamans and the mages.
Yeah, it basically amplifies your power. It's kind of like with disciples, where disciples has certain spots where your archer will do better standing here. He gets a bonus, and your mage will do better standing here because they get a bonus.
It's very cover based. It encourages you, like, certain areas, light cover, medium cover, and heavy cover. So, like, in it, I thought I'd be able to level up my team. It's really, you level up your guy and you hire people along the way.
Yeah. And you also just get people in your party that are part of the story or part of a side mission that
and
are there temporarily.
It's very story driven. I mean, it's balls to the wall, very much
involved with what's going on. There's a lot of text. There's a lot of reading what's going on, a lot of choosing what you're going to do, and it affects the game. There's a lot of investigation. I mean, most of it is very much noir. Well, cyberpunk noir.
Yeah, it's very... well, it's
like
basically...
It almost feels like, in a way, a throwback... Obviously, it's a throwback to Shadowrun.
Well, it's the roots of cyberpunk. I mean, a lot of stuff you see in a lot of the more cyberpunk-oriented games nowadays. Like, even, like, Deus Ex. Like, Deus Ex...
borrows heavily from this.
Borrows heavily from this, especially when it comes to the abilities. Like, you know, the guy who can dominate bots. Bot domination is a big thing in Deus Ex. It's been there since the first game, where you can dominate bots and everything. And it's that idea of being able to basically... use your brain to jack into, you know, external, you know, electronics. Like, even in The Matrix, the movies even kind of borrow from the cyberpunk genre. Yeah. I mean, that's all that really is. It's just tech cyberpunk crap. Like, look at Tech Wars with William Shatner. You know, and that's pretty much...
Don't get me started on Tech Wars.
That's pretty much cyberpunk, you know, technology stuff. And I love Tech Wars, but... Either way, we talked about this.
Give me Blade Runner.
No, Blade Runner's great, but Tech Wars has some fun stuff to it. But either way, it's basically the roots of the genre, you know. And if you're a Blade Runner fan, if you're an old school RPG strategist, you know, and all that crap, it has that for you as well as story. The one thing that kind of made me a little, I didn't really care. I was just like, with them doing a re-release of the game and just doing this nice little, up package for everything. It's not even really being lazy. It's just what would have been nice to see is having, despite the large amount of dialogue, has some spoken dialogue. That would have been nice.
Well, I think it ended at like 1.4 million or 1.8 million, somewhere in there with their total budget. I wish the campaign had been longer, but here's the caveat to that. You have an editor where people can release their own content.
Yeah.
So 6 months from now, I want to see some really in-depth campaigns that people have created.
Oh, you'll probably see some faster than that. I mean, anytime they release a game that one is a cult following game, like Baldur's Gate, I think they had some level editors for that. There's already some Baldur's Gate stuff out there.
Well, Neverwinter Nights was a good example of that. There were some expansion packs that me and John played from Carousel before we were doing podcasts that we played for several hours.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see some stuff like that. I played some of the user-generated content after I beat the game. Everything I found so far is really short. I did one where it was just a guy experimenting, and it was just in a bathroom, and there were things that happened in different events.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just a leveler. There's also props. You can make your own props and that you can put on the workshop that people can download for their creations. Like, there's that one prop you can get that somebody created, a naked woman laying in bed. It's very 80s cyberpunk. I mean, the chick's like, I don't think she has any panties on, but she's just laying there, and the sheets are all ruffled, and she's on her stomach just laying there passed out. And it's just very fitting with the environment, you know. It looks good, and it looks like it would fit in with a really interesting scene. And I like that idea that you can make props and throw them out there for people to do their own thing. So, and in that vein, I mean, you're pretty much not limited by the tile set that came with the game, which the tile set that comes with the game is, of course, is a Seattle tile set, which basically has the streets, Seattle buildings, and crap like that. You can basically create your own tile set if you want, most likely, and throw it out there, or download some of the other people made. Props is what we were talking about originally. Just, you know, cool stuff. It's pretty interesting. And it's such old school game.
Yeah,
it doesn't take a whole lot to learn how to make something like this. It really doesn't. It's the time. It's really a lot of time that you have to devote to it. But but it's not something that's going to really have a really huge learning curve for you to learn how to write your text files for the dialogues. I mean, how I learned that, you know, ripping apart free PC games like Swords of Exile, or Blades of Exile, I'm sorry. That's how I learned how to do these little overhead RPG games. Yeah. So I was ripping those apart and learning how to tear everything and strip it. So learning curve's not that bad. So it's a really good editor game for just having fun. It's not like doing Left 4 Dead, you know, editor, which is a little bit more...
Well, that's like, you know, it's just like with mods, they're just going to make it easier with this, but...
Yeah, well, it's like Elder Scrolls construction kit they put out for Morrowind was kind of a pain in the ass to use.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead 2, I know you mess around with the Left 4 Dead 1 editor.
It takes a while.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to. There's a lot of, you know, wireframing, you know, building up everything and setting your spawn points, and you have different views that kind of throw you off if you're not familiar with what view it's starting you off in, and it kind of throws you off, and it can eat up a lot of resources.
Well,
but,
or it's like, there was a mod I did for KOTOR. Mm-hmm. But literally, you could take it, this mod, and have Revan's robes from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a guy who went out there and invested like over 3,000 hours just to go through every minute of the game, every second of the game, and text, write, and code a mod to make the cape flow.
Oh, yeah.
So that it didn't, so that the feet didn't clip. And,
yeah, it didn't cut through.
You know, yeah.
I mean, when you look at a lot of stuff, like they just, that one dude who, he made a Skyrim mod that just came out, that this was basically his resume that he created, and I think it's Falskar, I think it's the name of it, and it's basically like 20 plus hours of additional content, side story that he created for Skyrim. Yeah. And it's voice acted, original music.
Is that
music,
the new one that just came out?
Falskar or something like that, yeah. Yeah. It was basically this guy spent, he moved into his parents' house, they paid his rent there for him, paid for his groceries, and said, listen, this is what I want to do with my life, I want to do this, and I want to make this as my resume, and his parents are like, okay. And for this, over like the past 2 years, he's been living at his parents' house doing this. I'm like, hey, actually, fucking props. Your parents support you in your decisions.
Yeah.
And believe in you. Hey, that's wonderful. That's amazing. But I mean, I haven't played it. I've watched video of it, of people, you know, messing around. I was actually really blown away. I was like, he got voice acting done on him. Really good voice acting. Well, you know, for what it is.
For what it is.
He went through and, you know, created this storyline. All this stuff, I'm like, wow, I'm really blown away with the amount of detail this guy put in. And I'm like, even if Bethesda doesn't hire his ass, somebody's going to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the amount of, and he did it, I think, in 2 years, which for one guy to
which
do
for
20
one
hour,
guy to do 20 hours. And
yeah, because he's using existing assets as well as making his own. I mean, that's still really fucking cool. And amazing that he pulled it off, and I haven't heard if Bethesda's responded to it yet or not. Last week or the other week, when I heard it, when I first read when it came out, they hadn't yet. But it's just, you know, level editing. I like games that put those out. I don't get to fuck with them as much as often, but the potential's there for me at any point in time to create my own indie thing based on that, and just have fun with it. Like, I mean, hell, Portal originally was just a mod.
It's a source mod.
Yeah, it was a mod based after the Source engine, which is used for Half-Life, and they created Portal out of it just for fun, just to show the physics and how it can work, and it became a huge franchise.
Well, not only that, but it really showed what the Source engine could do beyond Half-Life.
Oh, they're still showing what the Source engine can do even now. I mean, I think Titanfall is based on Source, and that's probably one of the best-looking games coming out. And I'm not saying that just because my friend Brad, it's his company, but I mean, it really is one of the best looking games coming out when it comes to just the amount of fucking fun you can have, and it looks really good, and I can't wait to play the shit out of that, and I'm gonna devour it. But yeah, it's just amazing what you can do with the Source engine even now, as they're still tweaking it and pushing it out. The physics are fantastic. It's just a very cool Source.
You know, I remember when Orange Box came out and Portal was in there. You load up Half-Life 2 off of Orange Box.
Yeah.
Great. Looks like Half-Life 2.
Episode 1, Episode 2.
Yeah. You load up Portal, though, and you're like, is this game really from the same engine? It looks so much smoother. And
well, I mean, look at the environments you're in, though. I mean, they're really very sparse environments, which is kind of the appeal to Portal. It's very, very, it's just very sterile, you know, which is kind of cool. It's a testing
but
procedure
still,
facility. So.
They really showed off Source just for the fact that,
have you watched this at all yet?
I'm just kind of watching the background while we're talking about it.
He's pulling out that Falskar. Whatever, yeah.
So the...
Everybody's Irish.
You know, it just showed... by the way. Just showed how much smoother textures could be.
Yeah. I mean, there was still some stuff here and there, but that was just because of the time. I mean, this is back in like 2007, 2008, I think, is when it came out. And of course, you look at Portal 2, which came out, was it 2010?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I remember you guys bought it for me for my birthday, and I was just like, oh, you know, I went home and I played it in one night and beat it. It took like 10 hours, 12 hours, but I just sat there and played it. I was so obsessed. And it looks fantastic when you get into certain areas, like areas where the jungle's grown in. Or you get out into the old research facility area where it's just all decrepit, where you find potato, and it's just a fantastic fucking game. But I love the ideas of level editors, just because it's, you don't get that on Xbox, but I can see, you don't get that on consoles. I'm not going to just zero out Xbox. But of course, with the news that Xbox is going to actually start supporting independent publishers, you know, which they've made a big thing out of saying, hey, guess what? Yep. If you're an indie developer, if you want to have some fun and make your own games, we will now support you putting that on Xbox for the Xbox One. As they go in that direction, maybe there will be something, like Halo Forge. Maybe you'll start seeing that in some more games, because Halo Forge was actually, there was probably about a good half year that I was just playing Halo Forge, going into Halo Reach and just forging maps over and over and over again. And one of our friends, I forgot, it wasn't Nymph, who was it that was building maps in Forge constantly?
Winemaker.
Oh, Winemaker Joe, He was, I can't remember, I think it was Nymph fucked around. I can't remember. Sorry if it wasn't you, Nymph, sorry. But kept going in there just making these massive maps that were pretty cool. And it's amazing what you can do with them. There were some user-created maps I checked out that were really unique and very interesting and very well thought out. And there were other ones that were just somebody made a giant set of boobs out of steel structures that fired flaming barrels at you. And you're just like, okay, this is stupid.
Well, I remember being 11 and, like, literally taking... I remember some dude just uploaded a
looks fucking badass. Did you hear the voice acting in that?
No, we were doing this.
Oh wow, it's just a lot of Irish people. It's like Braveheart in Skyrim.
But they
it's like, don't castrate me.
Some dude just threw up a
that's gross.
Mission creator.
Oh yeah.
For TIE Fighter up on Angel Fire.
Oh yeah.
Back when Angel Fire was huge.
Yeah, I remember Angel Fire website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick
your layout. What's your
header? Dude, I can't tell you how many hours I spent.
Oh, no, same here,
creating new missions for TIE Fighter, because I just love that game. I was just saying, Angel Fire
websites. That's actually where I first learned how to do HTML coding, because I would build the website in Angel Fire, then I'd go into the HTML source and learn how to actually do it, and I basically taught myself in like 96.
And for those of us that, those of us that remember Angel Fire and GeoCities.
Oh, GeoCities. I call it GeoShitty. Hated that crap.
You have fucking ads.
There's so many ads, man.
You see it real creative on how to hide it under layers and shit.
Not only that, but you create a site and half the time it was crashed.
Yeah.
I mean, GeoCities was horrible.
Well, this is back in the day of 56, K modems. This is dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
And Photoshop was only so good for optimizing images on web. So it was pretty insane back then, and nowadays, I mean, you guys have seen the new Tilcast website, so you know how different everything is nowadays with development, and what you can do with CSS and divs and layers.
Ever
and,
since
transparencies.
Ever since CSS and C++, I mean, development has just
come
leaps and bounds just in the last couple of years.
Well, I actually despised CSS when it first came out, because I was like, you know what? I learned HTML. I learned HTML fucking 4. And now you're going to do CSS, you cocksuckers. And they're like, oh, no, it's like .NET. It's just a mixture of stuff, but it's still HTML. You're like, no, it's not. It's PHP websites with an HTML framework built inside of divs using cascading style sheets to tell it how to react. So now instead of coding one thing, I have to code 4. I have to just build divs, and then within those divs put the HTML, and then inside the CSS tell those divs how to act. It's just, fuck you, And it got really irritating. So I went from doing custom coding websites to just saying, you know what? Everything's Joomla. Joomla, I find a website that has a menu I like, and then I rip it apart. So it's not even a template anymore. It's my own custom coded version. It's just I use it to cover all the basic stuff so I don't have to write it. I have my script libraries, but they're such a pain in the ass, So I'm like, fuck it, everything's Joomla, and that way I can train customers how to use it and I don't have to fuck with it. I train them, hey, go in here, it's like using Microsoft Word. Boom, you're done. You update your front page, now get the fuck out of here. And so now I don't mind CSS, because I've experimented. I've seen how far I can go with it. CSS 3, as well as using WebKits for animation, for CSS animations, which are fantastically fun. And it's amazing. Like, one of my old coders, we had a simple div where it was an ad that was about 200 pixels wide, and when the page first loads, the ad would scroll, it would actually expand to about 500 pixels and then go back down. And you're supposed to hover over it and expand opening it.
It took him about 140 lines of JavaScript code to do this. I did it in about 6 lines of CSS.
Yeah.
And it was like, here you go. And he's like, how'd you do that? And I was like, simple. The basic state is 200 pixels. But when you roll over it, the hover state is 500 pixels with a WebKit transition to 5 seconds, which allows it to slowly expand open. So it's like an animation. Don't need JavaScript. Yeah. And he had it up in the top head of the page. I'm like, JavaScript slows down your load time. Put it near the bottom. He's like, well, I need to have it top. Then don't use it. Use CSS because you can do a lot more with it. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. I saw somebody who made a complete CSS item that basically loads up. It's an image, but it's interactive. It's got eyes, and it follows your cursor around, and it'll swallow your mouse. And it's got audio nice. To go with it. And I was like, I was really blown away. I was like, wow, that's amazing what you can do. And it's like CSS is replacing Flash pretty much as well as was it Edge,
replacing Flash and GIF.
Like all that stuff's going bye-bye. You can use PNGs and just basically layer them out and tell them to hide each one and bring it open and basically make an animation film strip out of it, which is great. I saw a Madman intro somebody created that was all in CSS. I was really blown away by that. And it's just, it's impressive what you can do nowadays. And it's gotten to the point where your Windows Media Player or your Winamp, your visual experience that you can turn on, you can do that now with just straight CSS coding, which is it's HTML5 and CSS, and which is profoundly amazing that you can create these visual light shows with just that code and some images and transitions.
Long gone are the days of Angel Fire and having to
instead now we have code like all your animation. I know, it's a pro. He's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in that. That's awesome. But anyways, it's amazing because we have all these.
Oh, that is
pretty fucking
great.
Funny. Is that like a party that follows him around everywhere? Where's Splinter and Shredder? And where's what's her fucking name? The
April O'Neil,
the news reporter, and that young kid, the young Asian kid, Ninja.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But it's just impressive stuff because, long gone are Angel Fire and everything else. But unfortunately, we have these other websites that are these, come to us and build your website on your own and just drag and drop stuff like Concrete and all that. Which they'll build you your one page business card website, your 3-page business card website. But you know what? You're not going to get any individuality out of it because it's just kind of whatever. And if your website breaks, you're going to have to fix it.
That stuff's great for the general mom and pop store that's trying to drum up a little bit of business.
Even then, it's not good for them. Because if it breaks, those companies like to charge you to fix it. And they usually,
I'm not saying it's best solution.
Yeah.
But for your very first time out the gate, mm-hmm. to see whether or not a website really works for your business, it's a good start. I definitely recommend, though, you start seeing business, you start seeing traffic, you go to someone like the company you work for, or
me just individually. Or, it's one of those things where if you're a business really trying to get out there, it's not even so much, hey, I'm going to throw out one of these one-page websites and see what happens.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I consider Google Analytics and SEO stuff a scam, but the truth is it's not a scam that I created. It's a scam Google created, and it's a scam that we have to abide by if we want people to show up. You have to have your Google Analytics, you have to have, if you go with Bing, you have to have your Bing stuff in there so it recognizes your site and considers it a valid website. You have to have your social integration with Google Plus at least, if not anything else, so that way it's basically joining your website with that one. That's fucking hilarious. How far up is it? Oh, wow. You can see the continent pretty much. That's how far up he is. Anyways, then that's the downfall of SEO. Unfortunately, it's a scam in my opinion, but unfortunately it's one created by Google that we have to adhere to. And because of that, mom and pop websites, unless they want to sit online for 3 years without any SEO and just hope to God that eventually they start populating, then they'll start populating if they've been around long enough. To even get a page ranking on Google, it takes so long. My company's been around for, let's say, 5 years on the web. our blog part of our website's finally at a page rank of 3, and we're actually the top. Like, you search for our services in Oklahoma, since we're geo-meta tagged towards here, we are the first company that pops up on pretty much every search for our services. We pop up, and we're still only at a page rank of fucking 3, and it just takes forever to get up there, but having the right SEO helps with that. So, but anyways, ball.
Yeah.
So we got way off. I don't know why.
Ball.
We even know. We were talking about modding.
We just got off on that. I started pulling up mods, and
We just started talking about coding.
We were talking about coding. So yeah. About the ease of things nowadays, yeah. and just how things have changed.
I've just been watching Ninja Turtle Skyrim mods.
I think the easiest level editor that's out there is probably Halo Forge on Reach.
Yeah.
Did they have one on Halo 4? I haven't looked.
I haven't looked for one.
I haven't played.
So.
I have it sitting in there. It's his copy. I haven't even played it yet because I just haven't turned on my Xbox for shit.
You need to. It's good.
No, I'm sure it's good. I've had so many other things that I've been working on and games I've been playing. Whenever I do play a game, it's like, it's really, oh, I'm going to do Civ. I don't feel like starting anything.
It's a fun. I'll tell you this much. I played it on. I played it on the hardest setting.
Yeah.
Civ?
And
Halo.
Halo 4. And I beat it in 6 hours.
Yeah, no,
which Justin told me I was a freak.
Yeah.
But.
I heard it's kind of short. Of course, Holly said, oh, I beat it in 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, but you run past everything. And that's kind of how she plays.
Yeah.
She's like, elites, and she just books it to the next fucking waypoint. I'm like, oh, you're such a punk.
Oh, so, no. See, I killed everything.
I exterminate. I have to kill
everything. I killed everything. Justin said he beat it in like 8 hours on hard.
The only things that I let live
on legendary
is if I drop everything but a couple grunts, I'll leave the grunts. I really don't care about them. And they're not going to do shit. They're usually going to run away if you just pop a shot at them. So I just let them go. But I'd say Halo Reach Forge was probably one of the easiest level editors, and it's expansive. I don't think they ever put out any updates for it that updated your selections as to what you could build with.
Yeah.
As the expansions came out, I don't think they did. It would have been nice to see them go further with it, but of course, that was Bungie's last title, and when 343 took over. I imagined. If they didn't do a level editor for Halo 4, then I'm like, doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you, you made a campaign, you made a multiplayer section, but why not have the source editor? Why not have the Forge editor?
343 was running Reach multiplayer anyway.
Yeah, but why not have the level editor in there?
Yeah.
So that's something that if they don't continue to do that, if they haven't, because like I said, I haven't checked on Halo 4, but if they haven't continued that, that's kind of a disappointment because that was so much fun. Is that a desert mod?
Yeah, just read textures terrain.
Wow, that actually looks really cool with the desert. And it brings a new wow.
Oh wow.
That's pretty kick ass. Sorry, we're staring at he died. Yeah. Anyways. but no leveling, yeah. So, it's a whole new world that if you haven't gotten into. I mean, it's the joys of PC gaming, When you buy content like Skyrim right there, like he's been looking at. Yeah, you played the base game, you got the expansions, but you know what? Then you got something like Falskar, which is fucking 20 extra hours of gameplay. It's made by a fan, but you know what? It's really well fucking done.
I started to say, that sounds like that fan was extremely dedicated and wanted to do something that did justice
for
Skyrim.
You get
a
kid with Asperger's on there who's got the time. You're going to get something that's very canonical with the story. It's going to fall in line. It's not going to contradict anything because he knows everything.
Yeah.
And he's going to take the time to make sure every single detail is correct. And it's going to look great. And the same thing with Fallout. I mean, you had Operation Brazil, which Justin was playing, which he really enjoyed. And you have a lot of GEC community stuff that comes out, and every copy of the game comes with the GEC editor since Fallout 3. Fallout 3 and New Vegas both have the GEC editor that allows you to create anything you want. And that's amazing stuff. It just really, you get more bang for your buck, basically. So, which I love that stuff.
Well, and it's like Bethesda said, and a couple other companies have said, it gives them a way to scout talent that they normally wouldn't have access to because these people may not necessarily have gone to the tech school. Yeah. Or,
well, it's not just that. It's also a way to get a fresh idea, in there.
Because
even though you have a level editor, that doesn't mean that you have to play by their rules. You can create mods to go with that particular expansion you've created that actually alters the rules. So you can come up with new ideas. Like in Left 4 Dead, on the multiplayer maps that people create, you can alter, like, you know, they have the gas tanks, you know, the one where you need to grab the gas tanks and stuff, and you can alter those rules to where there's new win parameters and lose parameters, which is cool. Tank mod, which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, that was rough.
It's one of my favorite infection modes. Sorry, mutations, which is where there's no special infected. It's just tanks.
Nice. Just,
everybody's a fucking tank chasing your team down. So you have four tanks barreling down on you. There's no, let's hold here until the zombie rush passes. It's just, you need to just grab melee and just start beating the shit out of everything and go. And it gets pretty rough on stuff like No Mercy.
Because
you're waiting for, like, You're waiting for the crane thing to lift the ladder up. You know, you're waiting for all this stuff, and you just have to book it and run around in circles to stay away from these tanks. And that's just one of my favorite mutations, because it's, you can get through it, because tanks are actually pretty easy to get around if you know what you're doing, and if you're lucky. A lot of it has to do with knowing the level and just being lucky. That's a really cool effect on that fucking sword.
Yeah, the electricity.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome. But anyways, And that was probably one of the most beautiful ones. And they had the Last Man on Earth one, which I think is just you're by yourself. Yeah. There's nobody else. I don't think there's any infected that could... I think hunters are there, but I don't think there's anything that can totally incapacitate you 100%. So and then there's the hunter one where everybody's hunters, which is pretty fun.
Yep.
So they need to put out the witch one. I don't think they have, because of that witch mod that came out, where basically if you were modding your Xbox, you could actually generate an entire witch field inside of a level just to fuck the other team. But I know that they had a game where they had a mutation where there were more witches than normal, if I recall, and that might have been on PC as a mod that you could get. But having that on Xbox as a multiplayer map where there's just field witch everywhere, witches walking around all over the place, so you have to just be as careful as possible while the opposing team is trying to kill you, is actually pretty damn fun. Is that King Kong?
It's just a gorilla.
It's a giant fucking gorilla with fucking huge dick beaters. Nice. No, fucking large ass fist. Anyways, but so yeah, that's modding. So we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, are you done? Because you keep pulling up videos, so we don't know what to do.
I've been done for a while.
I'm not the moderator. He is.
I was keeping it going until sure we had something constructive.
Anyways. So that was Shadowrun 35 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So it's a great game. I enjoyed it. I'm still playing it, but yeah, it's fun, and you enjoyed.
Yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody. Again, more really looking forward to some of the patches and some of the user-generated content, but for right now, I mean, I definitely got my $17 worth for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and props to my friend Jeff. Because anytime he hooks me up out of nowhere, because I was just sitting at home, and then like boom, it says you got to get a copy of Shadowrun. I was like, oh cool.
Nice.
So he just beaten it, like he beat it within 2 days of it coming out. So I was like, you work for a living, how the fuck do you do this? But he sent me a free copy, so thank you Jeff, as always, for your random acts of kindness, Mr. Frowny. So, the guy's never happy, he just frowns all the time. So
we want to take a break, come back for news.
Is there anything else? I just played Dead Island, but I don't really have an update on it. So,
no, I think that's it, because nothing really new except Shadowrun and me no PC, so.
Yeah, so we'll take a break.
Yeah.
Are you going to say we'll be all back? Right. You're the mod.
No, I'm not. Jeez. All right. Justin usually does that anyway. No, we'll be back. Constructive break.
And we're back.
Yeah, it's midnight.
Yeah, it is.
And the storm's rolling in again.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of lightning.
We need to burn through some of this news here for Jason.
Yeah, I'm about to fall asleep, so burn it.
All right.
So, you want to jump straight into news?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to get into some really big stuff here in a minute. Fest 2 was canceled. Apparently, one of the main developers that was in charge of Fest 2, Phil Fish, was really, really, really negative about it. He decided to go ahead and quit the games industry over this. Wow. So, that's kind of a big deal. Fez is a pretty decent game. I need to get back and finish it.
See, I haven't read that story. Now, was it an actual just prima donna move, or was it something really serious? Because it was on Twitter, wasn't it?
I'm not going to get into that. If you're interested, I'll post it. But, big deal. I mean, Fez was a fairly successful game. Released on PC and Xbox, and I want to say it was on PS3, too. But, pretty decent game. Really cool puzzle game. Yeah. Other things of note, I know that Neil Gaiman's actually working on a game right now.
He's nice.
I know you're not a big fan of Neil Gaiman, Trent.
It's not so much Neil Gaiman, it's just old Neil Gaiman I'm really down with and I'm totally fine with, and it's the same thing with Tool, okay? I love Tool, I hate Tool fans.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Maynard, I hate Maynard fans.
What about, like American Gods is a pretty cool
American book. Gods is great. Even Coraline. I mean, I love that story. I love what they did with the... Wow, that's a lot of lying. I love what they did with the movie. It's actually a great fucking movie. Sandman. All that stuff. I love that stuff. It's just the fucking fans. He's also getting into the toy industry. He's going to start releasing action figures, which is kind of, it's about time, to be honest with you. I mean, I would love to have, like, a Sandman action figure. I'd be totally down with that.
Yeah.
Is that a flood alert that just came in?
No, it was just my girlfriend.
Oh, never mind. It's a different type of flood alert. She's a squirter. No, I don't know. Oh, sorry, I thought that was funny. Anyways, but no, I'm not really anti-Neil Gaiman. Other than I listened to him trash H.P. Lovecraft, I think that might have actually been kind of a joke. It was on the Eldrick documentary that they put out, and he was just sitting there trashing. He's going like, Lovecraft was really good at describing stuff, but he sucked at writing. I was like, I will punch you in the fucking face.
Well, because you're such a big Lovecraft fan.
Way over Neil Gaiman. His name is Gay. Gay Man.
What's going the wrong Gay Man?
No, I'm just saying, but his name is Neil Gay Man. I did like how he played himself in The Guild when they did the episode.
Yes.
Going on with this, he's wanting to do a haunted house game.
Yeah.
It's going to be on PC and then on tablet. So, I guess... Obviously, there's no kind of release date. It's just something he's announcing. Hey, I want to get into this industry. He said in the article that I read that he's been kind of involved with back and forth with different developers over the last 20, 30 years. And the problems he's run into is every time he's gotten really involved with it, the companies went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So he's going with an independent game developer, which that could happen again, called The Odd Gentleman and Moonshark.
He's been pushing a lot of stuff on his Facebook. Not on his Facebook feed, but I do read a lot of his... I actually go to his Facebook and read every once in a while because he's always posting interesting stuff from his older collection stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm not trendy enough to go ahead and add him onto my list.
he's just on your suggested likes.
Not even on that. I actually went and looked him up.
Do you go follow him from another person?
No, I just went and I looked him up on Facebook and was reading to see what he did. I started doing that. I actually started doing that with a lot of people. I stopped adding pages because I got tired of them showing up in my feed and I don't want to bother hiding them. So I just actually just went and I go like, I wonder what this band's up to. Go and type it in and look it up. Or I wonder what this author's up to. I think Chuck Palahniuk was the last author I allowed onto my feed list. And after that, I was like, fuck it.
Other news, Outlast is coming out in about a month.
Oh.
One of the fans of the show, and fans of actually friends of the show, always seems to tag me some weird shit. And Stephen K. tagged me in something recently about Outlast and asking what the system requirements were. I looked it up. Most of it's last gen as far as requirements. Still looks like a pretty current gen game.
Isn't that the one where the trailer was you inside that weird asylum place? And
being chased by that dude?
Yeah, that really fucked
up. I put something on his comments to the effect of, I'm too much of a pussy to do it. Maybe I'll record myself crying.
it's like Slender.
Maybe we should just do a whole segment of Justin freaks out over video games.
This is gonna be on PC, isn't it?
For $20.
Yeah, I'll buy this and I will frap it, and because we're gonna actually start expanding our video library, so I'll put this up there and I'll frap it and play it. So that'll give me a chance to check out the cooling on my new system because I'll update it by then. So it's a test for me, and fun for the audience.
Well, and it genuinely, I mean, it's...
looks good.
It looks pretty kick-ass.
It's like all the stuff I've seen for it, it does look like, you know, like this gen or next gen looking game.
Yeah, and the system requirements don't look that bad, so...
Yeah.
Anybody with a system that can play modern games probably will be all right.
Yeah.
Other things. Obviously, we were talking about Falskar.
Other things in the...
Falskar looks pretty cool. I'm going to play that.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised you hadn't heard about that one yet, so... I still haven't played it.
I actually heard about it on a podcast the other day. I was like, I should check that out. And it's like, nope, Shadowrun.
Yeah.
I got 24 hours to beat this.
I still haven't played it because I just, for me to jump back into Skyrim, that would probably be about a month worth of my gaming time.
Yeah.
Then that would only get me through half of the main story with the amount of gaming I get to do now.
So, other things, PlayStation 4 is being quoted as giving up to 5 gigs of their RAM to game developers.
No, they're sitting at 8 gigs, aren't they? Or...
Right, but you got system. The
system's that's what I was saying. Is the operating system's going to take up 3 gigs worth of RAM. I thought that it would run... I think even John commented on that he thought that the OS would run a little bit leaner, but it's actually going to end up eating 3 gigs. And I thought about, well, I didn't really get to hear too much of the PlayStation 3 stuff, like the really in-depth things of what it can do, like the Xbox, you know, because I was here for the Xbox One. I didn't really get to watch too much. I think we were actually doing the podcast.
Yeah,
during on the PS3 stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know what services are going to be running at the same time as the operating system while you're
in
the game.
They didn't say.
Because I know Xbox is going to have the streaming that you can do and the recording, and that eats up your RAM, you know, it really does. And so I don't know what's going to be running at the same time.
Well, here's what's quoted on it. There's a total of 8 gigs of available space.
And that's DDR5.
Right.
Yeah.
And 4.5 gigs is allowed as conventional RAM to developers.
Nice.
With an additional partition of 2 bits of 512 megs of virtual memory.
That's not bad.
So that's way more than current gen systems right now.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And honestly, if you... Like, there's a lot of... Like, if you, to put this in perspective, when you first play Skyrim on PC, it allocates 2 gigs of RAM to play it. You have to get a patch to get it to run on 4 gigs, which is the only way you really run the high-res textures on it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're already starting at higher than that actually means this has some promise.
Yeah, it has some promise. Yeah. And, I mean, with that amount of RAM, I mean, the crap that you can do will be pretty interesting. I honestly thought it would run a little bit leaner, but, again, I don't know what services are running at the same time
exactly.
as the OS. So there could be a whole bunch
of and with both systems, PlayStation and Xbox, you're probably going to have a lot more systems running simultaneous with the OS.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I know with Xbox they have like the streaming thing where people can jump into your live stream. You can also record. You can post stuff and all that as you're playing, and you can edit videos as you're playing. And those are services that are all turned on at the moment. And I think there's supposed to be some similar stuff on PS4.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes sense. So it's just a matter of what services are going. So.
One of the big gaming deals, and I don't know how much it's going to affect gamers, is Activision is buying back $8.2 billion of shares from Vivendi. So they've been owned by Vivendi for a while. But Activision Blizzard's going to split apart from that and get an 80% share of the Vivendi stuff.
Interesting.
And which ought to be kind of interesting. So we'll actually kind of see this story as it develops, but that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like Activision that much, but, I mean, they own a big chunk of the gaming industry and are, you know, responsible for a lot of...
There's worse people than Activision.
Was
Activision EA or... Sorry, was Toe Jam and Earl Activision or EA? I can't remember.
Oh, man, don't ask me. Because
Activision was a huge title back in then. It's always been a huge title. I remember on Sega.
I think that was Activision.
Yeah, because Activision was always huge on Sega. They did just about everything.
Yeah, I think it was because Earthworm Jim was Activision, so...
Probably. Not sure, but yeah.
So, last bits of news. Do we want to get into the question of the last bits of news?
We'll jump into the news and we'll do the last bits.
Okay.
So, news, and then we'll jump into the questions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, on the news, obviously we've been kind of a fan of Harebrained Schemes and what they've done so far with...
Shadowrun.
Well, they're supposed to be... They just announced there's a Kickstarter opening up for a project called Golem Arcana. And this is something because it emerges something for a lot of us hardcore RPGers, old school tabletop gamers, and people who play video games. They're releasing a tabletop that incorporates electronic media into your tabletop. So to the point they got a pointer, they can touch a point on the map and it pulls up the stats or the area for that grid on your tablet or on your, you know, your smartphone.
Well, it's like describe it a little bit better. It's like you have an actual tabletop map.
I'm tired.
Well, no, it's just you're talking about map. I mean, to put it into perspective, you have a tabletop map that's laid out in grids.
Right.
And you have these figures, of course, these full detailed figures that you're placing around and stuff, but there's no detail on the map whatsoever. What you do is you take the stylus that they provide with the board and everything, and you use your smart device, be it a tablet or phone. It's basically setting a smart device, and you can touch the map, and it'll pull up all the details for that particular quadrant of the map, so you know what's in that area. And the figures, you can even touch the figure's name, and it'll pull up that figure's stats. So it's basically taking tabletop gaming and mixing it with a little bit of digital.
And he said, well, actually automatically calculate your chances to hit or defend or any of the other stats automatically by tapping the name of that opposing character.
Yeah. And from the looks of it, there's actually multiple things written around the base of it. So there might actually be different information displays by tapping on the different sections of it, or it could just be it showing you its base stats around
there.
Who knows? But we'll find out more as it comes about. But it's very interesting. But he also said user-created content, which I thought was really amazing, because the idea of this is it's almost like a profile. It's like you have this blank... the map has detail on it, just not a whole lot. And you have these figures. And the cool thing is if you're a content creator that's independent, you're just doing this on your own, you can probably create a profile map that basically uses the same characters, the same board, but it's loading your information. So now you've altered that quadrant's info or this particular enemy's stats. So the game can change. What happens when you get to that point in the game changes. What happens with this? Do they have a higher percent against this particular character, depending on that thing? You know, it's very interesting, and it basically means that the game can alter every time you play it. I think it's ingenious, and it's a great way of bringing tabletop gaming back with a hardcore passion for some of the people who never got into it by making it more visually interactive rather than using imaginations.
Well, and you can kind of mix it too, and it's interesting because, I mean, I've done this fairly recently. Mm. I know last year that a buddy of mine created a custom campaign. Dave, who's been on the show a couple times, has came up with a campaign where he basically rolled up like 100 different skills and said, all right, roll a 100-sided die, that's the skill you get. Wake up with said skill, and then, you know, we had to roll to discover different things that were within that set. Yeah. So we leveled up and things like that. And if I could get a guy like that behind something like this... Mm-hmm. Create his own custom campaign, that would be all sorts of fucking
epic. It reminds me of like old riffs, like the old tabletop riffs.
I would drop $100 on a Kickstarter like this.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I get,
dude, if I saw something, I'm done. Like, I mean, next August, I'm just kind of.
I mean, I want to see what the packages are for what you get, because I mean, I would throw down and I would go out and finally buy a tablet and all that just so I could run this thing and play it, and it'd be interesting. It's
oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like I play board games with my ex-girlfriend a lot, you know, Rebecca.
Yeah.
We like playing Risk and chess and all that. So this is the kind of thing where I could get her into it, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be like, come on, it's fun. Just play it, motherfucker. Just play it. And then she reaches ultimate geekdom. So.
Yes. Well, or like I know it drives my wife crazy because Rusty and I would do the podcast here with you guys, and then another night we're actually currently playing a tabletop.
Yeah.
Oh, with Dave?
Drives her nuts because she doesn't understand tabletop whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This could, like,
yeah,
even if she doesn't play, actually get her into it enough that she's not like,
well, it's one of those things where
weirdo.
Where, like I was saying, it's more visually enticing,
stimulating
because you're using this digital device. Yeah. And it's like, imagine you're playing a tabletop game where the dungeon master is using the tablet. Rather than his you know, Bible he's made, the Bible is on the tablet, which is pretty badass in my opinion. That's pretty cool. Especially if there's some cool,
well,
like, custom graphics.
Not only that, all right, I don't have to have a notebook for each different character depending on the campaign.
It's
to
all
keep track of everything that's happened in the campaign.
Well, it's like you go to the loading screen and choosing a new game, you can load your own profile you created, and it just adheres it to everything. You're like, okay, here we go. You know, we've got your characters that you guys have said I put those in, plus all the special little variables I've added in for the map and for the enemies, so let's roll. And you just get going, and it just calculates everything for you, runs the game, and it's pretty cool. It's basically a digital dungeon master.
Yeah,
which I'm 100% behind.
Yeah.
It looks badass.
It saves time. It's not the old days of making an entire map out of green paper.
So it looks badass. I think he said the Kickstarter starts next month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever that goes live, because I'll forget between now.
Yeah.
Just send me a link on it so I can go check it out. So.
Yeah. So.
Was there any
we'll update you guys as that's updated.
Out, yeah. Is there another piece of news or?
No, there's nothing else that I can think of. I think we got a question though.
Yeah, well, we had our question last week, which was what was the coolest thing or the most anticipated thing coming from Comic-Con. Pretty much everybody's all about Avengers. We're just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, Avengers 2, yeah. A little bit of Superman versus Batman. Our question for this next week is, in light of this revelation of tabletop gaming using smart devices, things are getting a little stale. Yeah, first-person shooters are pretty much what they have been for quite some time. Very little innovation there. Overhead games are pretty much... They're still pushing things here and there for interesting effects, but it's usually just mixing genres, like Sanctum.
Right.
You know? So what's something that would revitalize you into, say, a genre that you like? So if I say first-person shooter, what's something I really want to see in first-person shooter I haven't really seen that much that would really revitalize it for me? So, I gotta think about it for a minute. So what's a genre that's getting stale for you? We'll go with that, and then we'll figure out. You know.
Yeah. You know, really, the whole genre I haven't gotten into in a long time, just sports games.
Sports games.
There's nothing out there.
I will agree.
That hasn't changed since...
That NBA game that came out, a lot of people were raving about, the NBA 2K.
Yeah, but, I mean, more so, that's all more stat-oriented or performance-oriented that's just come up with the generations.
For me, it's the angle in it. Like, I remember when Super Bowl came around, they had that Bot Bowl commercial where they show the robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Super Bowl show, it's like, if they made a game out of that... With the funny stuff that happens in there, I would play the shit out of that.
Because
I used to play a lot of soccer games and basketball games.
What was that Nintendo game that was baseball, but it was robots?
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, the last time I really enjoyed a sports game that wasn't Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And, yes, I am a closet Tiger Woods player.
I used to play a lot of Golf Arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
FIFA World Cup, when it came out on the GameCube. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly you had the innovation with the C-Stick and everything else. They added a whole lot of new mechanics into a sports game that had already been well established, but had not changed. And the thing is, all the sports games, whether it's any of the NBA titles, Madden, FIFA, you know, nothing really new has been added since the current gen came out, except for features such as franchise or things like that. You know, there's not really been anything new out there mechanically wise.
Sports games are such a cash cow because every year, every season, lineups change, people leave, people come, and coaches even. Teams switch hands, so it's like one year this team's with this state, next year's with that. So they released the whole new, you know, updated lineup, and people got to have it. They have to have it, and that's their big thing. So every year that comes around, every soccer, like every FIFA, every NFL, every NBA, every NHL, all those that come out are huge sellers for those fans because they're like, okay, here's something that I can, you know, rather than watching reruns of the games that I just watched this last year, some of my favorites, I can just play them, which is, you know, something that a lot of people jump into.
Give me something with true new physics mechanics or something like that actually changes the way you have to play the game. You have to relearn
You want to play Blitzball, basically, is what it is.
I want something...
I don't blame you.
I want something that, for example, a FIFA title that's going to make me have to relearn the game because the physics have been updated and changed so much that it's not just point the stick in the direction of the goal and hit A.
Yeah. See, I agree because for me, it's this point that
if I want to play football, I'm going to go out and play football with somebody I know. If I'm going to do basketball, yeah. I'm going to go out and play basketball. You know, if I'm going to, and mine's going to end up being in this genre, if I want to go race a car,
yeah,
I'll just take my car out of the middle of nowhere and drive really fucking fast. The shit I can do anywhere, you know, and pretty much get that fixed. Switch it up, make it something new, you know, alter it, like where if I don't score the first touchdown in the first 10 minutes, they behead somebody.
Yeah.
Not really, but, you know, just, you know, switch it up, make something new.
You know, just
how about Quidditch, like, the game?
Even with all their physics updates and everything else.
Yeah.
I picked up the last year's FIFA title when the price dropped, right? Because I haven't played a FIFA title in a while. I picked it up after 10 minutes of playing and just getting used to FIFA again. I was dominating the crap on the hardest settings.
Yeah, because it's sports, the same shit.
Yeah, sport, it's just the same shit.
No, I mean, I'll agree with you on that. For me, it's racing games.
Yeah.
There's that storm's rolling in now, the wind's picking up. There's racing games I really like. Like, back in the day, you know, you had like, was it they had that Motor USA game? There was the arcade game where you just, you know, you even had the radio button, and that was fun stuff. You know, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the old school racing games, but it's one of those things where they lost me after a while, and then I discovered Wipeout. You know, Wipeout XL, which has a badass soundtrack like Prodigy, Underworld, fucking Fluke. You know, stuff that I really liked and was great for racing, especially when you're racing hovercrafts that can fire missiles and drop bombs and shit.
Yeah.
And I took a racing game and basically created it into a competitive, like, majorly competitive game where you're destroying each other and not just trying to run each other off the road.
Well, that's like the last actual racing game, like car racing game that I really enjoyed was Burnout Revenge.
Yeah.
Because literally it was just, your entire goal was to destroy as much shit as possible.
Well, it's like the movie, the original movie Death Race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually do like the remake they did with Jason Statham, because the whole point is you're in this and you're running over swords and shields. You run over a sword, you get
a weapon activated.
Yeah, you get an offensive weapon. You run over a shield, you get a defensive. Either it raises that shield up and it kills the car behind you or something. You know, and that's fun stuff where it's not just racing anymore. Now it's like, I am actually
combat racing.
Murder. I'm going to murder somebody for this crap. You got turrets on your fucking car. You've got, you know.
Well, they've done some of that stuff too.
That's
like
what I'm saying.
Twisted Metal, you know.
Yeah, but Twisted Metal is one of those games where it's just derby. It's really just demolition derby. You're just in a giant arena killing.
See,
each
I don't
other.
Want the demolition derby. I want something kind of like Road Rash.
Like Wipeout. Get rid of cars. Yeah. Go. I mean, Wipeout is one of my favorite fucking games. And occasionally they come out with a new one, but it doesn't capture the same vibe that Wipeout XL was for me, because Wipeout XL was something so new and so cool. I enjoyed it, but they haven't really gone that far away from it. Yeah. They haven't really been too innovative. There's a few games, like there's a game they're working on right now on PC that's on Greenlight, where it is a racing game with hover cars, but the cool thing is you can actually take off from the track and land on any surface, and the map will actually change to where you come up to the end of the road and it flips you off of the map.
Yeah.
And you have to navigate and land on a flat surface, be it the side of a building or something, and make your way through until the road comes back again. And it's like upside down, sideways, all over the place, while you're actually trying to destroy other cars. I thought, okay, that's pretty cool, because it takes it out from being just I'm on one track that might have some jumps here and there. Now the track is everywhere. And the shortcuts are only what you can imagine them to be. So that was really cool. Having something like that, bringing back stuff like Wipeout, but really reinventing the whole thing.
Yeah. Or, like, for example, the Madden and NCAA football titles from EA. Throwing mechanics, just as an example. You know what? If you can still point the joystick and learn the power system with AX and all that, you're never missing a pass unless you're a 4-year-old who just can't operate the controller well enough.
Is that Doomsday?
Yeah, it's Doomsday.
Oh, okay, I can tell.
I mean,
I thought it was Solomon Grundy for a second. You know, there.
He's like, in the game too.
Make it where accuracy counts.
Yeah,
accuracy's automatic in those games.
Like
they've had the tech to be able to make that more of a play for a long time. They just haven't put it in there.
Like there was a, like having something in a racing game like the kinds I'm talking about, where basically. Imagine you're doing a hovercraft racing game and you're in second place,
and you have a power boost you can use that allows you basically to turn on auto autopilot that keeps anybody from passing you during that time and actually puts up a rear shield that keeps people from killing you, because what it does is it takes your point of view down into the kind of like almost Batman when he goes into the missile launch perspective. And so it takes you down into the bomb perspective, and you have a chance to snipe out the head car with a shot to their exhaust, their jet exhaust. If you can nail it, you have a chance to do that, and you can basically fry their entire electrical system, and they just explode, which then drops your back shield and allows you to go.
What I'm getting is that you need combat racing.
I need combat racing with innovation. But like Fuse came out.
Strategic combat racing.
Well, that is strategic rather. I mean, that's you're saving that one fucking power.
That's what I'm
just
saying.
To throw it out there.
To
yeah.
define what you're wanting, you're wanting strategic
more
combat
strategic
racing.
Combat racing.
Not Derby.
Not fuck Derby. I'm not even a huge fan of Twisted Metal. Like the new stuff. No, that was kind of a fucking tainted love letter for me. I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
But Fuse came out, and Fuse uses modern cars, but with really interesting, offensive and defensive weaponry, where I think you can drop an EMP that'll actually fry any car behind you. Interesting stuff. It wasn't too bad. I bought it for Scott, I think. I bought one copy for me and one for him, because we both like racing games. Yeah. And we just never got a chance to play, because he's always fucking around with his PC. But having something more tactical, more strategic, more like take Pod Racer, even for Nintendo 64, had more strategy in it than a lot of the racing games.
Oh yeah, because you died a lot going through a course the first time, so you had to learn the course, and then on top of that, you had to learn the racers you were racing against to figure out the best strategies around each one.
Yeah, because when each one would do different things. Yeah, and you don't really. I mean, nowadays you have that one guy. It's like, oh, you gotta be Killian Ross in the next race, and he's a dirty fire. He has spikes on his tires. Like, oh, whoop de fucking do. Just fucking on his turn, just shoot right past him. Don't brake. Just go ahead and take the wall damage and shoot past him.
Yeah.
And then slam on your brakes so it hits you in the ass and then take off. Boom. Solved. I didn't have to fuck with his tires. So not a big deal. That's kind of where I'm going at. You got something that you want to see redefined?
I honestly just want to see the whole... Like, after playing Shadowrun, the whole isometric perspective
pulls back.
Oh, this is just an Easter egg thing on Injustice.
Harley Quinn versus Joker.
But anyways, no, just that whole isometric perspective. Like, I'm getting ready to play some more Fallout Tactics. I haven't played it in a long time. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, like, polls and what were some of the greatest game franchises of all time, and one of the ones going through No Mutants was like, well, Fallout made number one because, it's been around forever now. I would like to see more tactical, like,
plus they reinvented it after,
well, Bethesda. I almost look at them as almost two separate games. Well, they are really two separate games, but Bethesda reinitialized the interest in the franchise. But just that whole, like, it didn't even have to be post-apocalyptic or anything like that, just the idea of having a tactics game like that, where I have a squad of people with their own stats that I can develop with, like, the whole text-based RPG stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, combining the MUD elements of, like, old-school RPGs. I remember playing MUDs way back in the day when PC gaming was barely a thing, and it was because that would run on my PC.
It's like, use key. Use key.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, use key. Yeah, it won't work.
You come to an intersection. Do you go left or right? Right.
It's like, you cannot go that way. You're like, no. It's like, there's a large pillar blocking the way. You're like, oh, fuck it, go left.
Well, I don't necessarily have to, like, just bringing more MUD elements into games. Like, you just don't get that kind of stuff that often anymore.
No, you really don't.
And not that I really want to play pure MUD. Ragnarok would not really hold up at this point, you know?
No. Well, it's like you have something like Faster Than Light, which is micro
roguelike. I like the whole, like, reinvention of the whole roguelike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Binding of Isaac was kind of what got me back into that just last year, the year before.
Yeah.
And then we had Faster Than Light. Faster Than Light is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's like micromanaging out the ass.
But it's hard as shit, but it's fun, and it's always different. Lots of replayability.
Yeah.
Rogue Legacy is also another one of those games. Hard as shit, fun, though. The whole roguelike thing coming back is pretty cool.
But
in general, it's just that whole, like, third-person text-based RPG thing. That's why Shadowrun scratched that itch so hard. I gotta play it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I'm at. I'm a little bit tired and just not talking well. So. That's my point of view.
His stutter's coming.
The tongue don't work too good.
My tongue's swelling. I'm getting gassy.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, we'd all like to see some genres get
reinvigorated
with new blood.
Right, I mean, the whole Fallout thing, like, it's just... I like the first-person element of that game, but FPS in general are just so saturated right now. I don't really want to play any more FPSs this year. I know there's a couple of them I have to play.
Oh, it's funny.
Like, Destiny, I'm going to play that because I think that's cool because it's an RPG FPS, but I need some text-based, like, third-person fucking RPGs. I need some fucking Chrono Trigger or something, you know?
Well, it's funny. It's like there's a huge time where first-person shooters was, or just first-person games was, like, a huge thing. You're like, oh, I'm really immersed. It's my point of view. I don't like third-person.
It just took over, man.
Third-persons take me out. I don't like those. And then third-persons became huge with, like, Mass Effect, third-person.
Well, it's like they got the new Lost Planet coming out. I want to play some Lost Planet.
But third-person games became big because people started to actually utilize what was going on in it. You know, it's like Bethesda had the smart idea by giving you the option to go in first person or third person. You go back and forth since Morrowind. And a lot of people have taken advantage of the third person point of view and what you can do with it. One of the big earlier ones that really pushed it was Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Showing, like, this is why we went with this and kept it as a third person, because look what you can do. You can free aim now. You can do all this.
I just like
things.
Being able to see my character. I mean,
yeah,
to a certain extent, you're living through the character. I mean, I don't get into it that much, but it is cool to, like, customize the way your character looks.
But also,
like,
I mean, when you see the damage they take, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't do that. You feel bad for it. You're like, okay, it's not just a red screen now. I can actually see his ribs sticking out of his side. I feel bad now, so I won't let Leon die. And you get a little bit more in there, but. Then Dead Space, which really kind of I think did some pretty awesome things with third person.
Yeah,
and by you're getting grappled by this thing. You got a QuickTime event, but there's really a lot of shit going on that's keeping you enticed as it's happening. It's not just X, Y, B. You're
it's like you look back at it. What really started bringing third person back was Elder Scrolls. It was. KOTOR, it was Splinter Cell, it was,
Gears. But you're also going into stuff like with KOTOR and Morrowind, you're going into RPGs at that point. Yeah. So it's not so much action anymore, it's now something that's like, having that view that allows you to see peripheral helps because you're scavenging, you're looking for certain things, stuff like that. When it's an actual game like, say, Dead Space, you get paranoid as shit in a third-person view because even though you can see your back...
Can't see much further behind it.
It's really deceiving because you think, okay, I can see it's not sneaking up behind me. I've got like a good 3 foot clearance between where the camera is and his back. No. If they're behind you, they're right up on you. It's actually your foot's just distorted. It's 1 foot away from you, which means you're fucked at that point. And it adds to that tension, so you're constantly spinning the camera around. You don't do that in KOTOR. You could care less what's fucking behind you, because if it does, it's just going to go into turn-based battle. It's not an immediate danger.
Yeah.
And that's... something that third person started to really take advantage of is that the engrossing you into the environment even more that first person couldn't do. And I enjoy that.
Well, there's talking about the genres that I'm talking about, like even with Dragon Age 3 coming out next year.
Which one?
Dragon Age 3.
Oh, yeah.
If they can do some of that turn-based battle stuff, like there's some turn-based stuff that's coming out, like the Bureau, XCOM the Bureau that's coming out, that kind of is a hybrid blend of...
It's third-person.
Third-person action.
Yeah.
Somewhat turn-based.
And strategy. I mean, when you run into the situation, you got to assess it and lay out your initial moves and hope to God that it works.
That you got it right. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm down with the Bureau. It looks great. And, I mean, I'm not saying that first-person shooters are getting stale for me. For me, it's really not so much the fact that it's just a first-person shooter. It's what they utilize in that that gets me into it. And games like The Syndicate... take first-person shooters. It's more what the mechanics in the game that they force into it that actually make it entertaining.
Well, that's
like third-person with Mass Effect. Mass Effect took third-person and brought it into... I mean, Gears was going in the direction of the cover-based stuff and all that. Mass Effect is what really nailed it for me, Mass Effect 2.
Yep.
And made it really fucking fun. And I guess it makes that turn-based... Well, not even turn-based, but you could stop everything, strategize, and then execute... without waiting on turns. You're just like throwing everybody out to do this, do this, do this.
While Gears is more, here's third person, there's no turn base, it's just, it's all cover, and you just need to basically kill anything that comes near you. And that's become a staple in a lot of the,
even... Third persons.
Not even just third person, but first persons, like, you know, Homefront, first person, there's a lot of cover-based stuff in that, where it's just, you know, hey, go out there and start killing everything. Make it more interesting. Like, even do, it'd be really hard to pull it off right, but a first person turn-based game would be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't assess the entire situation.
Really, the only thing I could say is really going stale for me first person is just the multiplayer layout. When you look at whether it's Halo, whether it's Call of Duty, whether it's Battlefield.
Well, that's what he's saying. It's always King of the Hill, Capture the Flag, or it's Deathmatch. Yeah, you know, it's all the
team-based,
same.
Team-based tower defense.
Invasion, though. Yeah, that was the last one I think.
Invasion
mode was the only fresh idea that really came along inside of Halo Reach as a default.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a user-made thing, and that was actually fun because it was a turn-based in a sense where you have your chance, they have their chance, and you're pushing objectives. Yeah. And that was actually...
But it's like with, you know, Battlefield 3 has really... been the only one that really injected anything really new, and that was just with the sheer size of their maps.
Yeah.
Do I think they were doing too much for the console generation? Yeah, because there was a lot of lagging in Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
But with the new generation, I would like to see larger maps. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them actually reinvent and improve the spawn system. You know, destructible environments is going to be a big thing with the next generation. You know, I just want to see them throw something new out there.
Yeah.
With the multiplayer instead of sticking with the same formula over and over again.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like, well, it's the same thing with racing and like he's saying with his genres that, you know, taking what's there, it's becoming kind of stale. Innovate, create, and mix stuff, you know. Makes it more entertaining, makes it more challenging, and multiplayer is one of those genres. It's not even a genre, it's just multiplayer first-person shooters. I mean, you know, it's like Mass Effect 3, while they were doing Gears of War multiplayer, which was, you know, third-person, cover-based fighting, it's okay. It's got its moments, but for me it was Mass Effect multiplayer, which is something I really... really enjoyed and loved what they did with it, and it was something I was like, how are they going to do a multiplayer with Mass Effect? And they did it and fucking did it exquisitely.
Horde mode.
Yeah, it's fantastic and it's great. Of course there's no versus, but you know, who cares, you know, it's just really well done. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with Mass Effect 4 since they're on EA as their distributor, and EA requires some kind of online play for all their games now pretty much, so they can double charge you if you end up buying it used. By the way, with that, that'll bring us to our game for next week before we jump into our other things. That's why I brought that up.
Gauntlet next Saturday, 10 p.m. Central. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect 3.
Multiplayer. Grab all the... If you're going to join us, you can find our gamer tags for Xbox on tiltcast.com. Near the bottom of the page. And
they are updated.
Yeah, and all the DLCs for multiplayer are free on Mass Effect 3, so there's no excuse not to get them, because we do enjoy having a wide variety of maps to choose from. So make sure you jump on there and grab those if you're going to join us at 10 p.m. Central next Saturday. Yep.
So, releases for next week. We got Pikmin 3 for Wii U, and Dragon's Crown for PS3 and Vita, and Spelunky for PC. Tales of Xea for PS3, and Divinity Dragon Commander coming to PC as well, which I've seen some alright stuff.
Spelunky is actually kind of a popular one.
Yeah, some people kind of hate it. I'm in the camp that kind of hates it. Payday 2 comes out the week following for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. Mario and Luigi Dream Team for 3DS and 3DS-E.
And DuckTales Remastered.
That's for Wii U, PS3, PC, and PS3. I'm not going to mention angry words.
And
Euro comes out later this month on the 20th.
What do you got?
And Saints Row the 4th.
Before we got too far, just one point out. August 3rd.
What?
Is the Gauntlet.
Oh, Gauntlet, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lost Planet 3, August 27th.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn.
Huh.
That actually might be worth checking. That's actually going to be on PC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see Final Fantasy.
We've got some games coming out. Shit.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to buckle down and grab something.
So I'm really hoping, like I was saying, if Final Fantasy VII does pretty decent on the sales for its nostalgic reasons, and this new one that's coming out does decent on PC, I would like to see Square Enix continue releasing back catalog.
Yes.
Final Fantasy, because, I mean, Final Fantasy VIII was already on PC. It'd just be, you know, updating and patching it. That's all it would fucking take. I don't care if you up-res it, just fucking put it out.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy X, I would really like to see on there. I could care less about any others. Maybe 11, just for shits and giggles. But other than that, I mean, that's pretty much what I want to see. So, is that... Yeah, it's...
Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
2D Japanime beat 'em up. Actually, it might be kind of fun.
Japan's good for their beat 'em ups.
So. Yeah.
But by the way, we got some games definitely coming out this next month, so it should be interesting for August.
Yes.
As well as that Kickstarter news for Golem Arcana. So, but anyways, here's a mod. So yeah.
I was gonna say I'm gonna have a hard time deciding between Dragon's Crown and Pikmin 3.
To be honest with you, Final Fantasy might pose a little bit of opposition for me for. Payday the Heist 2, because I really like Payday, the first game.
I'm not that big of a fan.
I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
If you get a team of four, it's actually pretty damn fun.
So. I'm really having a harder time with having the Bureau, XCOM Declassified, and Saints Row 4 coming out.
That's a different week for me.
See, that...
I entered a contest for Blacklist, so hopefully I'll win that.
I can get XCOM, but Saints Row I don't care much about Splinter Cell.
Shit.
Yeah, and also...
Yeah, Splinter Cell comes out.
Outlast comes out. Is it...
That's September 4th.
No, it's in September. Okay.
So Blacklist,
that's reasonably close to that.
Blacklist, so. I'll definitely be picking up next month. That's...
I'm going to see if I can win that contest. Yeah. Of course, I might be buying a new motherboard to go with my new cooling system, and a lot of those are coming with promo codes for Blacklist.
Nice.
So there's Final Fantasy games and MMO.
Yeah, I know.
I'm done. No.
I don't know. I might check it out if I can get a demo version on PC just to check out temporarily. So
there's game releases for next month.
Yeah.
And friends of the show?
Got the CarouselPodcast.com, ElseWorldsPodcast.com, For the Love of Gaming, BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and DVGB.tv. They do good things. Mm-hmm. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Search Tiltcast. Find us on Stitcher and iTunes. Search Tiltcast.
That's on YouTube.
Search The Real Tiltcast. Find us at tiltcast.com.
Email us at teabag@tiltcast.com.
And me and Trent are actually working on a website, so...
That way you're going to finally join in.
Hey, the power was out.
Didn't stop me.
Yeah, you.
I started coding on my phone, motherfucker. No, not really, but that'd be
funny. That would be funny.
I won't have CSS files. Actually, I do have a CSS editor on my phone.
So anyways, that's the show, ain't it?
That game.
That is the show.
I'm going to go take a shit and go to bed.
Man, I got to take a shit, too.
Yeah, you want to shit together?
Can I shit first?
We can snuggle cheeks.
Is this going to be two guys, one cup?
Two guys, one bowl. Three guys, because he'll be there watching.
Can we call it Snuggle Cheeks? Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah, we'll call it Snuggle Cheeks.
Yeah, Snuggle Cheeks works.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys later.